to comment on something I mentioned yesterday in the Rambam. I don't know if we still have those Rambams. We mentioned in the Rambam that even though the Baal HaGadol, yes, we have the Rambam that we Xeroxed yesterday, thank you. We noted that the Rambam here, strangely enough, does not seem to have what element is missing in the Rambam. Yes, Yamsuf. I want to be dyke in Lashon Rambam. If you recall, that the Rambam says the mitzvah is to say over what happened Bileel Chamishasa Benisan. And Dafka Bileel Chamishasa Benisan as opposed to anything beyond that. So the question is, why is Kriyas Yamsuf not included? So if you have a Chumash, I decided to think about it last night, and in the course of it, I decided to resolve that matter too. If you look in the Chumash for a moment, I have enough sperm on my shtender to keep me busy for a while. And also, yeah, I keep a few sperm over here as well. These are my sperm. And there are a lot more on my shtender. What? Baruch Hashem. So we saw in the Rambam here, in the Nusach HaGadah, whether the Rambam wrote the Nusach HaGadah, didn't write the Nusach HaGadah, is a subject of a lot of discussion among the academicians who study the Rambam. But let's assume the Rambam did write Nusach HaGadah, so what does not have here? He doesn't seem to have any reference to all the drushas that are found in the HaGadah that we saw yesterday, the drushas that relate to the idea of... thank you. The drushas that relate to Kriyas Yamsuf and the like. So now let's take a look at the parsha itself, and maybe we can perhaps make heads or tails out of that as well. If you look in B'Shalach, that's in Shmos, starting with page 190, pagination 190, in this Chumash. So the whole Pasha is obviously a Chiddush, a tremendous Chiddush over here, because the Torah describes how Am Yisrael essentially in a very beleaguered situation. They have Mitzrayim pursuing them. So take a look at the Psukim, that the Torah describes this quite quickly and quite well. Take a look, for example, in the page 191, Perek Yigimu Pasuk Zayin. Vayikach Shesh Meos Rechem Bachor V'chol Rechem Mitzrayim V'shalishim Al Kulom Vayichazek Hashem Eslei Paro Melech Mitzrayim. This is also part of the hardening of his heart. Vayidu V'charei B'nei Yisrael. So now their Klal Yisrael is being pursued. V'nei Yisrael Yotzim B'yad Ramah. There are enough chumashim here for everyone. If you take a look, look behind you. All right, behind you, right there on the bottom, there are plenty of chumashim. On the bottom. The red ones, the white ones, they're all the same. So then the Torah goes on to say, continuing the psukim, yeah, just bring a few more. If you want to bring that one, so you can bring that also. I don't mind but just a different pagination, that's all. They ask all chumash. Vayudafu Mitzrayim Achareyim. So the Egyptians are, here, Sammy needs one. Vayudafu Mitzrayim Achareyim, Vayasigu Asam Chonim Alayam, Amam 192, Kol Sus Recha Paro, for Asha V'chilo, and obviously the reaction of Klal Yisrael is, as you know, they're frightened out of their wits. The pasuk yud, uparu hikriv, vayisub bnei Yisrael seinehem, vayinei mitzvayim nosei achareihem, vayiru ma'od, vayitzaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. So of course they thought they were basically goners. They were lost because they're now being pursued by the Egyptians, and guess what is in front of them? The Yam. So that is quite a, shall we say, frightening situation. Now, the sense that one has when you read B'Shalach, the Psukim over here, is that the whole Parsha is essentially a Chiddush. It means when they left on the night of Tesvav, they certainly did not, shall we say, expect this kind of situation. They didn't expect to have the Egyptian pursuing them, to have the Yam in front of them. And as a matter of fact, if you look earlier on in Lech Lecha, just for a second, in Lech Lecha, the Torah describes the Bris Ben Absarim. The Bris Ben Absarim, of course, as you know, that's where you have the earliest discussion of what's going to be in Mitzrayim. Look in Perek Tesvav, in Pashat Lech Lecha Bereshis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. That's page 44 in Bereshis. Look in page 44 of Bereshis. That's why I suggested we all be on the same map. So in page 44 of Bereshis, here the term of the Bris Ben Absarim. The Bris Ben Absarim is, of course, when Avraham Avinu was told the following. Look in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ayom le Avraham, Yodah Teidah Kiger Yezah Achla Be'er Tzolahem. He was told, you're going to be a ger, in a land that is not known to you. By the way, did the Torah identify which land they're going to be subjected to Sheba? No. Of course, the reference is to what? To Mitzrayim. The Torah doesn't say it. We're going to be subjected to Inui for a period of how long? 400 years. How do you translate this pasuk? That nation, Asher Yavodu, that's going to subjugate you. Dona Nochi, Hashem says, I will judge them as well. And then you'll go out, Rechush Gadol. Look in Rashi, just to see Rashi over there on the pasuk of Dona Nochi. Rashi in the left hand column says, Rashi, Dona Nochi, Biasa Makos. Hashem will what? Will punish them with the 10 makos. And then they'll leave Berchush Gadol. As you know, we emptied out Egypt. Vaynatsu es Mitzrayim. B'mamon Gadol. So, the question is, why doesn't the Torah make reference to something else? Namely, Kriyas Yamsuf. Not even a hide or hair reference here to Kriyas Yamsuf. And Berchush Gadol. Where else did they also have Berchush Gadol? Chazal say, Bizas Hayam. You're familiar with that? That they actually took a lot of booty because, if you remember, look back at Mishalach for a second. When Klal Yisrael is told to go into the Yam, to jump in, of course, Chazal tell us who jumped in first. Nachsha ben Aminadab from Shevet Yehuda, it's also Gemara and Saita, it's also Midrashim. And Chazal, so he jumped in first. And now, as a result, Hashem split the Yam. And then what happens? Look in page 194 in Mishalach. Perek Yudal, Pasuk Beres, Vayashuv HaMayim. Okay, Chazal tell us that there was Nishar Ad Echad. Who was Nishar? According to Chazal, according to Medrash, Paro Melech Mitzrayim. He was Nishar in order that he should say Shemach V'Avdo HaTakadosh Baruch Hu. But the simple pshat of the pasuk is they all were destroyed. And then we are walking now. What Hashem do? Pasuk Lamed. Hashem, in effect, saves Klal Yisrael. Vayar Yisrael is Mitzrayim. They're all essentially dead. Vayar Yisrael is Agdol Asher Asa Hashem in Mitzrayim. Vayiru Hamas Hashem. Vayaminu Hashem. UMoshe Avdo. So here, what follows upon the heels of this, of course, is the Shira, and the Shira we say every day. I assume you are somewhat familiar with that. On a daily basis, we take the Shira, including Shabbos, including Yom Tov. Here you have a reference, actually, in the Shira itself, to what happened. Take a look in Pasuk Tes, on page 195. Omar, oh yeah, what did the enemy say, the Egyptians? Erdof, Asig, Achalek, Shalal. They already were dreaming of what? Of vanquishing Am Yisrael, of collecting the booty. Timlei, Maashi, Arik Chabri, Toshem Yadi. And that's not exactly what happened. What happened was, Pum Faket. And as the Torah goes on to say at the end of this, on page 196, in Pasuk Yutes, Kivas Sus Paro Berichbo Uferasher Bayom, all of his chariots were drowned. Vayashiv Hashem Aleim Esmei Ayom Ubnei Yisrael Holchu Be'Albasha Besoch Hayam. So here we came out, we emerged out of all this, out of the welter of all these circumstances, we emerged. Baruch Hashem, Yibar Hashem saved us. And then Chazal said that we were zochet to Bizas Hayam. However, when you read again the Brisman Absarim and Lech Lecha, what impression do you have? That what exactly does the Torah more or less predict, prognosticate? The Torah prognosticates what situation? Eser Makos, and that's it. Nothing to do with Kriyas Yamsuf. And the impression I have when I read the Psukim, that when the Brisman Absarim ends chronologically when? Leil Tesvav. The night of Tesvav is then Brisman Absarim is now over, which means that basically, that is the night which is critical. But the problem is, as you undoubtedly know, from davening every day, what do we say in the davening every day? Before Shemoneh Esrei. What do we say? Is Kriyas Yamsuf part of the Parsha of Gulas Mitzrayim? I'm asking a simple question. Do we mention it?
Yeah.
Where do we say? What do we say in the davening? No, but that's in the Shira. I'm talking about in Brichas Kriyas Shema. After the Kriyas Shema is over, then we say, what do we say after that? What paragraph do we say? Gemara Brachas? Yes, okay, here we go, Brachas again. What? The Emunah calls us at night time. What do we say in the morning? What does it say after that? There are a few Sidurim in the shul over here. Right over there. Take a look. Ari, thank you. Just take out any Siddur. Bring out a few Sidurim. Bring one for me too. All right. Thank you. Take a look at the Siddur. No, just leave those because they're Each one's a special siddur. Rav Shlomo Zalman siddur, another siddur, third siddur. Anyway, so let's keep track of what's going on. Take a look at the Shachris here. Everyone have it? You'll see what I'm referring to in a second. Emes v'yatsi v'nachon v'kayim v'yosher v'nemun. Very nice. And then Al Rishon v'Al Charonim. Now take a look at Ezra Savosena. In Ezra Savosena, which is the paragraph right before Shemon Esrei, we say that Hashem is Mogin and Moshiach, the name of Achayim v'chaldor v'ador. Excellent. That's what I was referring to. Mi Mitzrayim v'yaltonim Hashem Elokeinu. Everyone have that? We base Avonim p'disonim. By the way, that's already Tvei Dinim. It's a separate din. I'll get that later on. Kol b'chareim harakta. What did Hashem do? He killed every b'chor. U'b'charcha galta. Our b'chorim were spared. And then what does it say? B'yamsuv bakata. B'zeidim tibata. B'didim he'avarta. B'yichasim ayin tzareim b'chad me'em l'nosar. What is that referring to? Exactly. What happened at Yamsuf? Hashem split the sea. Zaydim Tibata, they are Zaydim. The Egyptians were insolent types, arrogant. They were Zaydim. And what did Hashem, whom did Hashem spare? Vididim, his intimate acquaintances, who are Am Yisrael. Vayichasu Mayim Tzareihem, the water now completely covers their enemies. Echad Me'em Lo Nosar. Here it says, not one of them was spared. Chazal mentioned Paro Malach Mitzrayim, but that's a separate discussion. And therefore, there's an obligation to do what? Al Zos, Shibchu Ahuvim Rom Mukel. We're obligated to say Shevach to Hashem, to thank him. Etc. So here it seems very clear that Kriyas Yamsuf is an integral part of what? Of Gulas Mitzrayim. Look in the Ma'ariv for a second. Excellent. You're on top of things. Look in Ma'ariv, also in the last bracha of Kriyas Shema, the one actually before the last bracha, B'vash Giveinu. You have it? Page 128 in this pagination. I don't know what is in yours. Everyone see what I'm reading? Hamavi Banov. Ben Gizwe Yamsuf, Hashem actually, what did he do? He caused us to pass. Erotfeyem b'yasoneyem b'somos tiba. Those who pursued us and those who are our enemies, what did he do? They were drowned. Birog v'anav v'gurasso shimcho v'avdu l'shmo. So what do we see, l'chora, from the davening, the pashtus? That Kriyas Yamsuf is an integral part of the gula. So now that's the question, why does the Rambam somehow omit Kriyas Yamsuf? So we have it in our Haggadah, as you saw yesterday, do you recall? We have in our Haggadah, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, all the drashas, all the makris that took place actually when also in Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the Rambam here in his Haggadah does not, the Chura, make mention of this at all. Matter of fact, there's a, I think there's a Yerushalmi in Pesachim, I didn't look it up, so you have to check it out. But Yerushalmi, the last prayer of Pesachim, if I'm not mistaken, Yerushalmi says that just like that Yitzias Mitzrayim was Chilas Gulasam, it says Kriyas Yamsum was Sol Gulasam, so it's certainly an integral part of the Gula. So why is the Rambam not having it? Now that I'm thinking about it, but Adam is not here, so it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Daf Yud, if I'm not mistaken, you have to check it out also. The Gemara Stakasha, same Gemara, similar Gemara in Erchin, but it's also found in Megillah and Daf Yud. The Gemara Stakasha, that it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was quite gratified at what he had done, quite satisfied. He drowned the Egyptians, he saved Am Yisrael. He asked the Gemara, what Kasha? Michad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'apalasin Shavashoyim. So the Hashem gloat. Martzad Hedrin, excellent, excellent, the end of the parak. There's a Gemara Yis Takasha that, it's also Gemara Megillah, Gemara Nerach, and Martzad Hedrin, two places in Shas, but the Gemara Yis Kasha in different forms. But the Gemara Yis Takasha, what he gets, Hashem is in a state of glee, you know glee? Is he gloating over the fact that what, that he was able to, as we say, destroy the Rishoyim? The Gemara quotes the Pasuk, that doesn't say Kito, by this Hodor, because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach, he doesn't gloat over the fact, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk that we say here in the Shira, "Lo karab zeil zeh kol alayla." Remember that pasuk? Take a look over here again in the Shira. The Torah says over here, "Lo karab zeil zeh kol alayla." It's in page 193, Perek Yudalud Pasuk Chaf in Bishalach. It says, "Vayavo beimachani Mitzrayim beimachani Yisrael vayi anan v'achoshe v'ayir es aloyla lo kara zeil zeh kol alayla." So what does the Gemara say over there in Megillah, and also the Gemara in Erchin? Bikshu malchei Hashem is lo mashira. They wanted to say Shira Tagodi Baruch Hu. So what does the Gemara Hashem say? Masa yaday tovim bayam v'atem omim Shira. my handiwork, which means the Egyptians are also the handiwork of Hashem. What were they? They were drowning. And you want to say Shira? B'shas Kriyas Yamsuf. Anyway, so by the way, this is the reason why Gemara Erchin has a whole sugya about Hallel that you're familiar with. What are the criteria for saying Hallel? When do we not say Hallel? Let's start this, just a brief, very brief skira b'inyani Hallel, correct? When do we say Hallel Shalom? Which days do we say Hallel Shalom? Let's start with Chatzi Hallel. When do we say Chatzi Hallel? Shodesh. Why? What's the source for that? Our Gemara and Tainis, a Gemara all over Shas. What does the Gemara say? That Hallel really should not be said on Rosh Chodesh. There's no marker for saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh. Hallel generally is only said on what kind of a day? A day that has some sort of a Kedusha Sayom. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. It's true there are other times we say Hallel. Such as? Oh, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I answered the question. Anyway, that is true. What's the basis of that Hallel? That needs a whole shir, which we will give him Mitzvah Hashem. I've given him the past about 100 times. But anyway, the basis for Hallel, let's say on any other day, let's use the Hallel that's found in Chazal before we get to that. What Hallel is found in Chazal? There's a Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, Machlokes Mechaber Amor. B'leil HaSeder. I don't know if any of you have this minhag. I think many of you do have the minhag. That Hallel is said in Shul on Pesach night, not the Hallel was saying in the Haggadah. But which Hallel? There's a Hallel that's said in Shul based on Yerushalmi. Shalmi says to say Hallel at nighttime in Shul, even though the Ramos says not to say it, Ashkenazi practice not to say it, but the Talmid of Rav Soloveitchik introduced that Hallel. The rabbi in the Shul, they say Hallel, of course, on the Pesach night, which means we're talking about after Maghrib. What's the basis of that Hallel? Are you going to say Hallel in the Seder again? Tvei Dinah, nothing to do with each other, zero connection whatsoever. It's based on Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi is quoted by the Gom, the Bir Agro, in Hilchos Chanukah. And it's also quoted by the Ran and Brachas. And by the Ran and Psochim. Anyway, the Ran and Psochim and Brachas quote this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says it's a din that whenever you have a tzibur, you're supposed to be mefarsim denes or denes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzibur. So why, for example, do we light Chanukah Neris in the Pesach Knesset? What's the marker for that? What's the general marker for lighting candles in shul? Is that the mitzvah? What does the Brachas say in Shabbos? You learned it probably. Some of you learned the Sukkot in the Chanukah. Rabbi Reichman, I'm sure, learned it. What's the marker for lighting Neris Chanukah in shul? What does the Gemara say? Where do you light Ner Chanukah? Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu, Ubeisa. There's no mitzvah of lighting in the shul. So the answer is a separate halacha of Pesumin Isa B'tzibur. That's the Gon calls this Yerushalmi, quoted by the Mechaber, and Leil HaSeder, the halal that we say based on Knesset and shul is based on this Yerushalmi. A dinner Pesumin Isa B'tzibur. That's what the Yerushalmi is Mechadish, that's what the Mechaber quotes, and that's what the Gon says the Mokar for lighting Ner Chanukah in shul in the Pesach Knesset. Most generally, people assume the reason why they light Ner Chanukah in shul is because it's Doma Teneiros of the Migdash. That's what many assume. But the Gaon has his own interpretation. The Gaon says it's based on this Yerushalmi, that there's a din of wild lighting Neres Chanukah in Shul based on Pirsume Nisa B'tzibur. A separate din of Pirsume Nisa B'tzibur. So this Hallel that is said on Pesach Zayin in Shul is based on the din of Pirsume Nisa B'tzibur. Many have the practice, many Ashkenazic Shuls today. Anyone remember that Hallel that we say on Pesach night in Shul? Sfaradim for sure say it, that's a Mechaber. But the Ramah says not to do it. But those who follow Menhagei Agro and follow Rav Soloveitchik say that Hallel in Shul, Berina, that's also Yerushalmi. That Hallel is said Berina. A separate din of Hallel, not the Hallel that we're going to say as part of the Seder, correct? It's a totally different Hallel. Now, why do I mention this back over here? Lokara Zel Zer Kol Aloyla. So the Kol Yisrael did not say Hallel on Shriya Shal Pesach and Kriyas Yamsuf. Why not? I was getting to Hallel Shalom. So when do we say Hallel Shalom? We said Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, correct? Now, certainly the first year that all these nisim occurred, for sure you said Hallel Shalom. Now what we're saying today is Zeicher to the Hallel that was said then. So the same thing also what you mentioned, that the first time it happened when we Klal Yisrael was delivered here in Eretz Yisrael, so of course there's a chiyuv to say Hallel, no question about it. Subsequently, the Hallel was saying is Zeicher to that which happened then in 1948. My practice is to say Chatzi Hallel without a bracha. That's how I saw this in Paskin. That's what I do. But anyway, Lom Shaneh. On Pesach, I'm talking about on Pesach though, do we say Hallel Shalom B'tai? When do we say Hallel Shalom B'tai Yom Tov? Which Yom Tov? Do we say Hallel Shalom the whole Yom Tov? Sukkot, correct. Agamara. The Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, the Gemara points this out, also Gemara Psochim, also Gemara Erechim, Gemara a few other places in Shas. Why is the difference between Pesach and Sukkot? Why is it that Pesach we do not say Hallel Shalom the entire Yom Tov? What was that?
The
Gemara says that. What does that mean? That's what the Gemara says. And the Rav interpreted that Gemara to mean the following. That every single day of Yom Tov Sukkot has a seven Kedush Sayom. V'haraya, we bring different Karbonos. The Karbonos mismatin v'holchim. Go down, correct? different set of kabbalas are brought every day on Sukkot. That shows you that the Kedusha Sayyam of every day of Sukkot is what is different. So the Kedusha Sayyam is Mechayib Halal Shalom. Mashenk in Pesach, we don't say Halal Shalom the entire Yom Tov. We don't say Halal Shalom which days? To be those who are unfortunately in the Gola, so say Halal Shalom obviously 2 days. And here in Eretz Yisrael, we say Halal Shalom 1 day. Why not on Shri Shal Pesach? So that's what the Gemara says, based on what I just quoted to you in the Gemara Megillah, also in Sanhedrin, also in Erech, namely, Masa Yod, I told him by Yom, Atem Rom Shira. Hashem says, my handiwork is what? Is drowning, and you're going to say Shira. So that's why on Pesach, Shri Shal Pesach, we don't say Halal. Since we don't say Halal on, shall we say, Shri Shal Pesach, so therefore we only say Halal Shalom 1 day. 1 day meaning when? Which day? First day of Yom Tov, first day of Pesach, Mashenk and Sukkot. Okay, but all this was simply, I'm just trying to explain, there's a Mashron Sanhedrin, not Gemara, where is that? Taf HaMetes. Yeah, the Gemara and HaMetes, even though it's a Kuala. Anyway, so the Gemara and HaMetes and Sanhedrin, the Gemara there that discusses the same issue, so the Mashron is bothered by Akashia, if I'm not mistaken over there, the Mashron is Akashia, but Klal Yisrael said, Halo B'Shas Hanes, L'Shira, Oz Yoshi and Moshe, we did say Halo. Okay, but anyway, my whole point is that, essentially, this is the question, whether Kriyas Yamsum is an integral part of, shall we say, of the Gulas Mitzrayim? It would seem yes. So now the question is back in the Rambam, why does the Rambam here have, in his Haggadah, the Rambam does not seem to have anything about what? About Kriyas Yamsuf. We have it in our Haggadah. The Rambam, in his Nusach Haggadah, does not seem to have it. Yeah, what do you want to say, Alex?
We don't say Halal on the seventh. We
do, say Chatzi Halal. Chatzi Halal, by the way, is only Halal Shominim. There is no concept of Chatzi Halal. The whole concept is, the Gemara says that when Rav came to Babel, he saw they were saying Halal Rosh Chodesh. Sober Lafsukinu. He wanted to stop them. Because what's the market for that? Then he saw that Midal Gidaluge. They were what? They were skipping. They weren't saying all the stanzas of Halal. So he realized, Shema Mino Min Hogahu. Apparently there's some sort of a minute to say Chatzi Halal Rosh Chodesh. So Chatzi Halal is only Halal Shaminu. There is no concept of Chatzi Halal. It's not existent. It's a non sequitur. It's a concept that is not found in Chazal. It's a minug that they had in Babel. They did it on Rosh Chodesh. And so apparently what we do on Pesach, the rest of Pesach, Halamai, and also Shri Shal Pesach. Shri Shal Pesach, we don't say Halal Shalom because of what I just told you. Masa Yod, Tavim Bayam, Batim Romim Shira. How can we say Shira, Takodesh Baruch Hu, when his handiwork is drowning, namely the Egyptians, they're also created by Tzalm Elokim. So we don't say Halal Shalom. So since we don't say Halal Shalom, Shri Shal Pesach, the rest of Pesach also, with the exception of the first day, or 2 days in Chutzaretz, there we only say on 2 days or 1 day, Halal Shalom. But my whole question that I'm just trying to develop here, is that is Kriyas Yamsuf an integral chelik of Yitzias Mitzrayim? What seems to be the answer? Yes. V'haraya Shachris, V'haraya Mayriv. So now the question is, why the Rambam not have it? So this is what bothered me the whole night last night. Go ahead.
You're still saying Shira. I don't care if you think on 2 things. You're still praising God.
But again, as I'm telling you, there's a distinction between Halal Shalim and Chatzi Halal. Chatzi Halal does not have a status of Halal al-Pi Halacha. It's Halal Shalminok. It's not a Halal which has any validity. Those who have issues with Yom HaTzmaut, this is what they tell you. They had issues with Rav Soloveitchik, because he said Chatzi Halal, without a bracha, after davening. Mazeh.
You don't pay
tzach
money the first night, you do the bracha and full halal?
Yes, that is good to the Mechaber, even though the Ramos says it's not the Ashkenazi practice, but those who follow the position of the Mechaber, which many Ashkenazi shuls today follow in Tinek, by the way, most of the shuls in Tinek, in the 5 towns also, I understand, they say Halal, what do you do? Shudu, what do you do? Where do you daven?
Anche what? I went to Hank. I don't know.
So they probably also my Kesher to Hank. I don't know what Hank is doing. This. Hank Aaron is a big baseball player. But anyway, I suspect that many of the rabbis that you had, that's what they did, because they're all talmidim at the end of the day of Rav Soloveitchik, and they're all talmidim of this practice, which has become very popular in the last 30, 40 years. My entire life, I've said it. My entire life. Even though the Ramah says not to say, it's not the Ashkenazi practice, but in Eretz Yisrael, forget about it. Here, people follow in Hagia Agua. Everyone says Halal on Pesach night in Shul, after Maariv. Yeah.
I think it's Rabbeinu Yonah Ben Yavos. Doesn't he say that if a person can go and praise Hashem for things, even if it affects someone, even if it's something bad that happened to someone else, as long as it's praise for Hashem and doing what he thought, like what he did, as opposed to like celebrating? We're not celebrating the Egyptian Zion. We're celebrating the Hashem, well, it's victorious over the Hashem.
Okay.
So that's the issue.
Okay. You are saying something very beautiful, and now you remind me of a Rambam. A Rambam Yisrael HaTorah. Wow, we have to find him. Don't worry. Everything that has to be had, we have. So the Rambam, you remind me of a Rambam. Wow. Hear what Jason just said? Wow, wow, wow. Oh, ho. Jason, what are we going to do without you? One second, let me just quote this Rambam.
I just want to
support his position. What?
An answer in the Gemara that he gives happiness to everybody else.
Nachon, that's what the Gemara says. He's right. So it's similar to what you're quoting to Rabbi Yonah. Yeah, but I want to just support this with the Rambam, if you don't mind. The Rambam Perches, I believe, in Sedi HaTorah. Many years ago, the Rambam was there. There's a classic Rambam. This is a classic Rambam for other reasons also. Perches Halacha Aleph. I'm reading the Rambam Perches in Sedi HaTorah Halacha Aleph. There's a gun right next door, as you can tell. Baruch Hashem, the little kinderlach like to make a lot of noise. They should continue to make noise and lots of it. Okay, if it bothers you, you can just close that window. Maybe just close that, it'll make it easier. I'm sorry to hope you're not
the chaps, the chaps.
The little chaps and tights. No, you didn't close it though, it's not closed completely. Thank you. And this one? Okay. I hope it's alright. I hope you'll survive. So it says, there's a Rambam over here. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, lo ha'eminu bo Yisrael b'nei ha'osa she'osa. Moshe Rabbeinu, why did Klal Yisrael believe him? Not because of all the osos, which are otot shulchan. Not because of all what?
Sorry.
All the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did. She'amam min al pi ha'otot yesh b'libo dofi. Because if you believe just based on what miracles, then you might accuse the person who did the miracles of necromancy, of sorcery, of kishuf. Who knows how he did it? Ella. The Rambam goes on to say, unbelievable. Why did he do the osos? There was a need, correct? He didn't want to prove that he was a Navi MS by virtue of the osos. This is the whole discussion, as you know, regarding the Vua. Does a Navi have to prove himself in order to establish his credentials? Of course, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What?
Daniel,
the Gemara Megillah you're referring to, of course. Right away, the Gemara says in Megillah that Daniel is included in Ksubim, correct? Daniel is not included in where? Mm-hmm. Not found in Tanakh, even though Daniel has the very dramatic description of the Dalit of the four Malchiot, correct? That seems to be Divrei Nevuah, but the Gemara says in Megillah very clearly it's not Divrei Nevuah. The Gemara points out Daniel is among the Ksubim. Why? What is a Navi by definition? The Gemara says, Rashi quotes it over there, it's a Shit Zahamma, many have shown him like this. What's the definition of a Navi? What's the definition of a Navi? Navi is a Shaliach, correct? Did Daniel have a mission? No, he had no mission. And that's why it's concluded in Tzuvim, even though you have there offhand Divrei Nevuah. You have a lot of prophetic utterances on the part of, but back in the Rambam. So the Rambam says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to bring a Raya on the Nevuah. I don't know, you weren't here 2 years ago, that's the problem. 2 years ago I gave a whole course in Yeshiva on the Nevuah. And primarily the course is based on the Rambam. The Rambam over here in Sedi HaTorah. And the Rambam also has in the second Chelek of the Buchim, you know, you remember it? From chapter 32 till chapter 48. Milei Vad Moach. From the heart to the head. So those chapters are devoted to Nevuah. I learned all these chapters on Nevuah there, and also we read the Rambams in Sodei HaTorah and a few other Rambams. Anyway, so here the Rambam says, and this is a big machlokes of Rishonim, in order to establish yourself as a Navi, must you bring hochochos, must you bring rayas, namely all kinds of osos and mofsim. I don't know if you recall Pesukim Chumash, okay, but that's not my topic right now. I'm off the topic anyway. But anyway, lo v'havi raya al Nevuah. The Rambam says that's not the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did all these osos. Hayatzarech, look what he says now. He had to drown the Egyptians. What is the Rambam saying here? This is absolutely a pella. I thought that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, we just read the Pesukim. Why did he split the sea? To save whom? Klal Yisrael. That's not what the Rambam says. In order to drown the Egyptians, Karas Hayam. This, of course, should remind you of the Beis HaLevi that I mentioned 2 days ago. Yeah, what Beis HaLevi?
Cause
and effect. The Beis HaLevi Miketz. Correct? That, the way our Soloveitcher used to call the Beis HaLevi, Geschichte, Ibgetreik auf dem Kopf. That's Yiddish. That means history turned upside down. Because we mentioned, do you recall that? Everyone was here?
Yeah.
You are not here, Ari. I'll briefly say it over. The Beis HaLevi points out at the beginning of Miketz is one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite Beis HaLevis. He loved them. You know why? Because he's named after the Beis HaLevi. His name was also Yosef HaLevi Soloveitchik. So he writes at the beginning of Miketz that we tend to think that Yosef, correct? Yosef was incarcerated 2 more years. The Pesukim at the end of Vayeshev, the Torah said, "Lozachasa Amashim is Yosef Ishkocheyu." Rashi quotes a pasuk, "Asher Agever, Asher Som Hashem Yitzachem Lopanel Behavim," because Yosef went to whom? He asked for the assistance of whom? Of the Sar Mashkin. He was sentenced to 2 more years. We discussed once about the Chazanish and Tzib, what the pshat of that is, but that's another time. Anyway, so 2 more years were added to his, shall we say, imprisonment. And now Yosef is released. So now why is Yosef being released? And what happened? Yosef comes to the attention of Paro, who has a terrible dream. He's perturbed, correct? No one could interpret the dreams of Paro. So Yosef comes to his attention. So tell me, what was the cause and what was the effect? Simple pshat of psukim. Paro has a terrible dream. Because of that, Yosef came to his attention. So Paro is the cause and Yosef is the effect. What does the Medrash say? That the Beis Halevi quotes? Punk fakir, just the opposite. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to release Yosef. The time came for his release from incarceration. And therefore, guess what? In order that the scenario should evolve, who had a dream? Paro had a dream. So what was the cause? Yosef had to be released from incarceration. Rav Soloveitchik said that about everything in the Torah and everything in Jewish history. And the reason why the United Nations was established was one reason. People think the United Nations was established for what reason? To make peace. That's the greatest joke imaginable. It was established for one reason, the Rav said. What was that? To establish the state of Israel. That was the sole purpose of the United Nations. So cause and effect, same idea. The cause was that the state of Israel had to be established. Yibar Shalom felt that he has man. Correct? That we need our own state. We have to have autonomy. So therefore, the United Nations came to being. That's not the way the world thinks, trust me. But you're 100% right. I told you, I discussed with the Rav in Boston, the Gemara Yevamos, which is actually a Drash HaSavan, and a Rashi found 3 times in Tanakh. Rashi has it in Vayera, Rashi has it in Tzfanya, Rashi has it in the third place. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Tzfanya, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. There the Torah, the Navi speaks about the fact that the following idea, and the Gemara says it very nicely in Yevamos. Every war is for whose purpose? Klal Yisrael. So I asked Aris Soloveitchik during the days of Vietnam, when I was in the draft in YU, I wasn't too happy about it. And all of a sudden I became no longer a biology student, but guess what? A rabbinic student. And look what happened. Anyway, so it was not good for Klal Yisrael. But anyway, the kids are, so we have now a draft, correct? So all of a sudden everyone became a 4D. Yeah, my Rebbe sits here in the back. You see my Rebbe over here? Rabbi Baruch Tash. Anyway, so the... I didn't notice you. Anyway, now I did. Anyway, so everyone all of a sudden became a 4D student. So many draft-dodging yeshivas were set up. All Borough Park were full of yeshivas. All of a sudden, everyone became yeshiva bacha. Why? They wanted to avoid the draft. I remember I mentioned this. Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal spoke at that time. This is in the 60s. Rabban Soloveitchik, I went there. And he declared, he went through a whole analysis of Mechemes Mitzah, Mechemes Shoshus, and he came to the Maskonet, the 3 hours, the war in Vietnam is not a Mechemes Mitzah. You know, that was a massive Kiddush for us. It was not a Mechemes Mitzah, but he analyzed the whole Rambams and Melachim and all over the place. He went to Shas. And he said, it's a Mechemes Shoshus, it's an optional kind of war. Therefore, he suggested, either we go AWOL, we're U.S. citizens, we should go absent without leave, abscond, go to Canada, become conscientious objectors? That's what he suggested. Which, of course, these kinds of suggestions are what are they known as? Sedition. Chas v'sholem. No, but I was way up. He thinks he's quite comfortable. It's quite comfortable. Anyway, I did end up in Toronto. That was much later, 1984. This is in the late 60s, you chacham anishtan you. Anyway, so the late 60s is talking about. Anyway, so the kids are, thank God. Anyway, so many, many Jews did not go to Vietnam. They weren't too happy about Vietnam. So I asked the Rav, what's the pshat of the Gemara in Yevamos? Ein lacham ba liyadim b'shul Yisrael. Oh, the Rav in Boston was very happy. He sat back on his couch in his apartment. And the Rav proceeded to say over the Brisk Rav, his uncle. That's what I said over the other day. I said over many times. The world was created for whose purpose? For whose sake? Klal Yisrael. How do we know that? The first pasuk in Bereshis. Bereshis bar Elokim es Hashemayim es Arad. Bishvil Yisrael shenikru Reshis. Bishvil HaTorah shenikru es Reshis. The pasuk says in Yemiyahu, you know Jeremiah. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reshis Tzvuasol. We are the chosen. We are the chosen people. We are the Tzvua. That's the prime Tzvua, correct? By Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban writes this out at the beginning of Bereshis, but the Brisk Rav spells it out very beautifully in the beginning of his Perash HaTorah. You know the Kedusha of Yisrael HaTorah? Are you Jewish? Did you learn the Chiddushi Agriz yet? There's a question about your Jewishness. Anyway, the kids are the you have to learn Chiddushi Agriz, I'll tell you. The first one is beautiful, the Yesod. So Rav Soloveitchik said it over. He said that the Briskova points out that based on the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, in Hakdama, the Rambam says that a gentleman comes to a desert, a Zokin, a Talmud Chacham, comes to a desert area, he's parched, he's thirsty. Guess what? He finds there an oasis. Why was that oasis created? No one has used it for 100 years. It was created for that Talmud Chacham was going to come by 100 years from now and, shall we say, slake his thirst. That's English. He's going to quench his thirst at the oasis, correct? It was created for him. So what was the cause and what was the effect? We think that what the cause is this oasis. And the effect is this Talmud Chacham coming to drink. Pum faker. The whole reason, basically, this Talmud Chacham needs a drink, and then Hashem created an oasis in the desert, that 100 years from now is going to be able to slake his thirst. Okay? Cause and effect, that's what the Brisk points out, that's what the Rav said. Every Milchama, the Gemara in Megillah, Milchama Nami Asal to the Gula, every Milchama brings us closer and closer to the Gula. Correct? The Gemara Dafi test. Anyway, so therefore, what do we see? That essentially, our perspective of the world is wrong. You are correct when you said Ari a moment ago. Everything can be interpreted in a similar kind of fashion. So now I'm asking the Rambam. Good. Now we come back to square one. So now the Rambam over here. It's Ashmei Rambam. The Rambam says, Hayatzarch Lashkiyas HaMitzriyim. I haven't begun the Shir yet, so all this is not counted. Anyway, it says, Hayatzarch Lashkiyas HaMitzriyim. He said that Hashem had to what? Had to drown the Egyptians. Karas Hayam, it's Lil Mesocho. Therefore, he went ahead and decided to tear the Yam asunder. It was rent asunder. Kriyas Yamsum. Pum Faker. This is Tamua. The whole reason for Kriyas Yamsum is what? Lashkiyas HaMitzriyim? Wasn't it to save us? We just read the Psukim. What does it say in the Psukim, Shmuel? Hashem wanted to save Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we were beleaguered. The Yam in front of us, Egyptians behind us. So what did Hashem do in order to save us? It's Kriyas Yamsum. But the Rambam says, Pum Faker. Ma'ab Shat. All this is to answer which Kasha? To answer the question of, is Kriyas Yamsuf a chelek of the Geulas Mitzrayim? So we said, according to the Rambam, there's a problem. The Rambam does not have it in his Nusach HaGadah. We have it in our HaGadah, but the Rambam does not have it. But we pointed out in the Tefillah of Shachris and the Tefillah of Ma'ariv that we have clearly the components of Kriyas Yamsuf are mentioned over there very clearly. So now the question, how do we deal with this? There's a very beautiful Sefer, problems I haven't seen in a long time. The truth is, I haven't seen it in 45 years. I've seen it, but I've not learned it. Talmud Dvora by Moshe Cordovero. Oh, you people went to Tzfat not long ago. Did you go to Tzfat?
Wow.
So you'll probably remember much better than I do. What does he talk about? The whole Sefer is focused on Yud Gimel Midos that I mentioned in what Navi? In Micha. When do we say that? Those Yigil Midos, we have Yigil Midos in what Parsha in the Torah? In Parsha Kisisa. But Micha also has Yigil Midos, that's what he focuses on, correct? And the ninth Midah is, which Midah? I think it's the ninth Midah. V'sashlech v'msulas yom kol chateisa. That Hashem should throw all our sins into where? Into the river. You know, many people have this practice. It's called Tashlech. Ramah mentions it in Shulchan Aruch, Rosh Hashanah. What do? You do Tashlech? Shmuel? It's Ramah. I speak to Shmuel, but he knows why. What? Do Tashlich? I mean, we have here Tashlich not far from us. There's a gentleman who Rabbi Saul Rubin Shlita, Hashem should be Marach Yomo. He has like a little pond with fish, and people go there. There was one Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orebach Zatzal. He went down to the Chatzer, the Beit HaKnesset, and there was like there a kind of kiyar. What's a kiyar? A laver. What's a laver?
Washing station.
A washing station, thank you. Baruch Tao, I also teach English. You used to do that also. Anyway, he's far better than I am. Anyway, Bikitsa, so the what Rav Shlomo Zalman do? He did Tashlich right there. Wow, that caused quite a stir in Yerushalayim. Where are the fish? There were no fish there. He only did it once, and then he regretted having doing it. Kashamati from Talmidim Rav Shlomo Zalman Orebach. But anyway, so here there's a pond with fish, etc. But some people actually think, you know what they do? They throw the crumbs into the water, and they think, what are they throwing away?
Sins.
Their sins, based on this midah. I think it's the ninth midah of the Talmud Zvara. V'sashlech v'msulas yom kol chateisa. So what does that mean exactly? So he explains that midah. I don't know if you got that far. Go ahead. Maybe you'll tell us what he tells us. Mikal Yisrael committed a sin. Hashem gave us over to Paro. We did tshuva. And then, what are we talking about? And he goes through all the history of Sancheira and Haman and all the rogues, all the enemies who wanted to destroy us. But it's not enough that we should do tshuva, correct? That Haman should disappear, and Pharaoh should disappear, and Safer should disappear. But rather, what's part of the hug of Kal Yisrael? That the Amal of Haman should al rosho v'solo v'solo v'zbana v'la'etz, and Pharaoh should, what happened to him? He should be drowned in the river, and Safer should also go, shall we say, along a similar kind of route. And what's the basis for this? So he writes over there, if I'm not mistaken, the Ramban Chumash talks about this. But the Talmud Zvara discusses it. Ramesh Gadavero, he's from Tzfas. You were just there? What's it? Weren't you just there in Safed? In the rarefied atmosphere of Safed? Was he with you, Pinchas?
Of
course. Pinchas is Ish Tzfas. He is the man of Tzfas. He's the one who is the epitome. He personifies Tzfas. Av Tzfas, the Tzfas Asuya. Because it doesn't do the price in China. But anyway, whatever the case is, so the Talmud Zvara over there writes, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes a pasuk in the Sound of Chumash by the Soil Azazel. V'nasa ha-soil olav is kol ha-b'neisa v'nasa gzera. You know, the Soil Azazel carries all our sins. What kind of a concept is that? The Ramban of Chumash, the Rav is a whole famous tzuv d'osha about this topic. V'nasa ha-soil olav is kol ha-b'neisa v'nasa gzera. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In effect, there's also a Gemara in Sanhedrin. No, this is no gear. Shimi. V'yasa behema ta'arogu. Correct? What's the din of the Eben of the Mitzvah San Eskolin and the Sayah of the Mitzvah San Erogu? What happens to the Sayah? What happens to the Eben? What does the Gemara say? They are require what? Gemara. You have to bury it. You have to bury the Eben. You have to bury the Sayah. That's the Gemara San Eben. Correct? That's the Gemara says. And therefore, why? Because you want to be Mavato the Mitzias. Even once the Gemara din takes place, now you want to take the instrument, the Onish, or the punishing agent that was used, and you want to completely get rid of it. And so that's what he writes over there, the term of Dvorah. That he says, "B'shashu v'mitzil osiyam kol chatzosam, and harishoyim kayam nigrash ki hashke lo yuchal vayigushu meimav refesh ratit." Those who want to punish Klal Yisrael, what happens to them? They get the same punishment they wanted to mete out to us. That's what the Talmud Zvara writes over there. Is that not right?
I actually
perused it, but that's about it. Now, someone show me an English translation of the Torah Dvara. Very nice English translation. Everything is translated to English. That's one of our problems. So we no longer have to work hard in order to learn, which is chaval, chaval. But anyway, the point is that one of the midos, which is a midah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and that's apparently what the Rambam says here also. But going back to this, these Rambams that I wanted to refer to, why am I mentioning the Torah Dvara? Because apparently that the Hanhoga of Hashem Yisbarach requires what? The power to destroy. Just like Hama be destroyed, Paris to be destroyed, Sancher has to be destroyed, the Eben and the Sayef also require Kvura, because they were used for what purpose? They were used for punishing Klal Yisrael. And therefore, in effect, so what am I showing you? That this Midah of Isashek and Sulas Yom Kol Chateisam apparently is also, Kanireh, is one of the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and apparently an integral part of the Gulas Yisrael, of Atzalas Klal Yisrael, at least according to the Baal Torah Dvorah. But I'm going back again to this question that we asked, and this question is a very famous question. It's also a medrash. I saw it actually a while ago. And this pasuk, a very strange pasuk. Okay, I'm not doing what I want to do, but okay, it's fine too. It's like free association with me. And so it says over here, look at this pasuk. Page 192, pagination B'Shalach, Perak Yudal, pasuk Yud, a striking pasuk. It says, "Vayudufu Mitzrayim Achareihem," the Egyptians are pursuing us. I should have brought you some refreshment. I forgot to do that. Is that all right?
Rebbe, you want me to go get some for you?
Is there some downstairs?
No.
And I'll pay for it.
You want me to run to the store?
No, that's for sure. What do you do?
You
want
to go to the key over here? I'll check.
Maybe there's something downstairs in the refrigerator of the shul. I'm sorry to bother you.
Not at all.
No, yeah, that's it. Here they are. They're coming right over here. Baruch Hashem. That's good. These are future B'nai Torah. Rabbarach. Budding B'nai Torah, hopefully.
They are current
B'nai
Torah.
They certainly are. Okay. Rabbarach Tau was a Rav, was in Chinuch for many, many years, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael.
And I'm waiting for Rebbe to give me a job in the yeshiva.
That's right.
And I want to continue.
Okay.
About what I did.
Maybe you should appoint to the Rosh Hashiva.
I'm happy to go with you on all the trips.
I don't go on trips. I'll be honest. I'm
going on the trip to Eretz Yisrael. to America to raise money. I'll go with you.
Ah, okay.
Oh, that's I'll be set up man.
Okay, he's a very funny fellow. He has a tremendous sense of humor. He's also a big Talmud Chacham. Anyway, so he's just very modest. So here, on page 192, you see the Pesukim Yud Gimel, Tesa and Yud? The strange Pesukim over here. Vayidufu Mitzrayim Achareyim, Vayasigu Al-Sum Chonim Al-Ayam, right? They're pursuing them, where they find us. Al-Ayam, Kolsus, Ragaparo, Uforashu V'chelo. By the way, just there, Chagav, the Rav is also very fond of another very interesting Kiddush. And this, I have to mention it, because it's really amazing to me, this idea. If you look at all these Pesukim from the beginning of the Shalach, the Torah stresses enormously, again and again and again, about what? Paro uvchol chelo. Doesn't Kansi mention it? Look on page 191 for a second. This is like a bracket within a bracket. On page 191, you see what I'm talking about? Let's say Rav. Vayeser asvichvo, he himself, what does he do? He harnesses his chariot, and then he takes his nation with him. Pasuk v'zayin. Vayikach shesh meyos rechem bachor. 600 of the finest chariots. V'chol rechem mitzrayim. V'shalishim al kulo. I continue, next page, 192. The Torah has unduly stressed over here what? The idea of Sus, Recha Paro, Ufaroshov, Vechelo, refers to what? His chariots. I continue. And just take a look now, Kimat, every few psukim, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the bottom of 192. Vani Hinani Mechazik Eslei Mitzrayim, Bivo Acharem, Bikovda Befaro, Uvechelo, Birichbo, Ufaroshov, horses and chariots. Pasuk Yud Ches. The other Mitzrayim Kani Hashem Bikavdi Befaro Berichbo Ufarasha, and then we continue. Pasuk Chav Gimel, page 193, pagination. Vayidufu Mitzrayim Vayavo Achareim Kol Sus Paro Richbo Ufarasha Atochayam. Pasuk Chavav Netzias Yochal Ayam Yeshua Amayim Mitzrayim Al Richbo Al Farasha. Would you not say that there's an excessive preoccupation and concern with Richbo Parasha? Why is it mentioned so many times? Not only that, you think we finished? No. Next page, 194. Chav Ches. Vayashuv Amayim, Vayichasu Esarechem, Esaparoshim, Vachol Chel Paro. And you think it's not mentioned in the Shira itself? Ha ha. Perek Tezbal, Pasuk Aleph. Oz Yashem Moshe Vnei Yisrael. Ashir Al Hashem Kigo Go, Sus, Virochva, Ramavayam, Yisir, Yameshe. Would you say it's mentioned a bit excessively?
A little bit.
A little bit. Pasuk Dalit. Bottom of 194, going on to 195. Markavos Paro Bechelo, Yaravayam. Mivcha Shalishav, Dumbu V'yamsuf. What in heaven's name is there such a preoccupation with Richbo Parasha? Next page, 196, Pasuk Yates. Kiva Sus Paro, Bivichbo, Uviparashav, Bayom. Isn't that amazing? And if you recall Miriam, when she sings, what does she sing? Shiru Hashem ki go go. So the Rav said something so insightful. Every generation, as you know, has its own weaponry. For example, Hannibal. Do you recall Ari? Mr. Hannibal. What weapon did he have? The elephant. You familiar? Have you studied world history? Did you go to high school?
Officially.
Matthew, what's going on over here? Jason, you people study world history. Hannibal or the elephant? I'll use other examples, okay? Maybe a bit more, maybe more relevant to you. The Israeli armed forces in 1948, they had this clearly secret kind of weapon which they called the Davidka. What was that? What was it? Or let's say today, the Merkava tank, which is also highlighted. Each generation has its own set of weaponry. What did Paro have? Sus Verochlo. So each of these countries and each of these nations thinks that with this weaponry we're going to vanquish our enemies without a problem. So the Torah tells us, it stresses again and again and again and again. Kochi v'yotzem yodi yasol yesachayel hazeh. Rasul Meshi was very opposed to a practice that the Israeli government had for many years. The communists still have it. Namely, May Day. What's happening on May Day? Or the Day of Independence? What do they parade? And what are they, shall we say, showboat? All their weaponry. What is communist China? North Korea, that little fella. North Korea, what do they do over there? What are they showboat?
Missiles.
Their missiles, correct. Their projectiles. And of course the fact that they're going to, shall we say, dismember the world and bomb the world out of its existence, etc., etc., that little gentleman, that little chap over there in North Korea. He's a cutie pie. I get a kick out of it. But anyway, there's an undue stress on what? On their weaponry. And even the Israeli government, unfortunately, there were times in our history as well, we used to also, on Yom HaTzimut, we would showboat and parade all our weaponry in the Rav Soloveitchik. It was very posted. That's Kochi V'Otzim Yodi. We think that at the end of the day, because we have this weaponry, and we're the strongest army in the world, and the smartest army in the world, and we have the all types of, shall we say, literally, we have now submarines. There's a fellow in this shul who's in the submarine corps, in the Israeli submarine service, and he asked me, he called me once from inside the submarine, he asked me about Neros Chanukah, Psagansa business, anyway, Bikitzer, he asked me Shalos and Aloch all the time, this fellow. A very young man, big Yerei Shamayim. Anyway, but you see that the Torah stresses unduly. Okay, I'm back to the original topic which I'm interested in dealing with, which of course is the question of, is Kriyas Yamsuf an integral part of Gulas Yisrael or not? That's really the whole issue that I'm concerned with. I'm very concerned with this. So there's a Medrash at this Pasuk. Let me just show you the Pasuk. On page 192, Pasuk Yud. Now the power is pursuing us. Wow, I didn't expect this to really, I'm just like an association. Ufaro Hikri. How do you translate that pasuk? Gufaro hikriv. What's a little translation? Power came close. Came close to what?
The answer.
Isn't that a strange? Normal, by the way, what does the word normally lahakriv mean to? To what? Lahakriv karbanot. To offer up karbanot. So what do you mean? Paro hikriv. What should it have said? What would be the proper Hebrew? Yes, Yehuda Yehudi Bo Bakul Yakasha. Yes, Yehudit Rehuta. No, מה בעצם הניסוח הנכון שהיה צריך להיות פה? ופרו? קרב. התקרב. מה זה הקריב? הקריב זה היפיל. The cause of it. מה זה ופרו הקריב? There's a medrash rabbi that says, שהקריב את ישראל לתשובה. He caused Talisa to do תשובה. Because why? Hashem was desirous of Atfilos. The Gemara says, with reference to the Ovos and the Imos. Why were they Akaros? The Gemara Yavamis. Why were they Akaras? Why were they couldn't have children? Shakurish Bochu Misabel the Tfilos and Shalom Imos. Hashem is desirous of what? Hearing the Tfilos of the Imos, of the matriarchs. Who are the matriarchs? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Hashem wants to hear the Tfilos. So here the Bible says in a similar vein, Shakurish Bochu Misabel the Tfilos. He was waiting for the Tfilos of Klal Yisrael. And that's what happened over here. That Klal Yisrael, when Meshuvah the Mitzrayim, they began to scream. That's what we said earlier in Shemos, Vayi Bayam Maram Lohem, Bayam Asmel Chutzayim, Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Ben Avodah, Vayizoku, Vatal Shav Asem Elokim Ben Avodah, Vayishma Elokim Es Nakosa, Vayizko Elokim Es Briso, Es Avram Es Yidu Yaakov, Vayah Elokim Es Ben Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim. So there, Hashem responded to what? To what Tfilos. And Tfilos are very significant. So here also, that Paro was literally, Hashem Yisbarach went ahead and used him as a weapon to chase Klal Yisrael. Uparu he created right away by Yitzhakum and Yisrael Hashem. And that's what Hashem says. I want to hear your voice. Harini es maraich, hashmini es kolech. You say Shir Hashirim, the second paragraph of Shir Hashirim. You say it every Friday night. There are some Ashkenazim who say Shir Hashirim every Friday night. Do you? Anybody here say Shir Hashirim? Anybody ever heard of Shir Hashirim? What Yom Tov do we say? Yeah, thank you. What Yom Tov is Shir Hashirim said? Pesach. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim what Shir Hashirim is. You know Rashi. What's Rashi Shita throughout Shir Hashirim? Rashi holds that Shir Hashirim is a historical allegory. Essentially, it connects to what events of the past, namely Mitzrayim, Shibud Mitzrayim, Gulas Mitzrayim. What does the Rambam say about Shir Hashirim? Is a romantic kind of love story between who and whom? Yibon Shom and Klal Yisrael. This is the Rambam writes in Chuvah. Says it very clearly. Perakud of Chuvah. The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam is a different understanding. Okay, but all this was simply to say that Klal Yisrael, means the Gula was not a one-day affair. The Ikar Gula began with the Brisman Absarim. Leil Tesvav, Hashem said, Don Anochi, I'm going to judge you and you're going to go out B'chush Gadol. But the whole point of the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf was for what purpose said the Rambam? Lashkiyas HaMitzriyim. In order to what? To drown the Egyptians. That's why Hashem caused this whole idea of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's the midah of what the Baal Talmud Dvar calls the Sashek Mitzulas Yom Kol Chatosam, what Ari is learning with Rabbi Tesla Shlita. That's the midah that Hashem Yisbarach uses, that the same weapon that they use against us, what does he do? It boomerangs against them. It's used against them. And that's the Hanhoga that required power to be destroyed. Because power was the kind of Eben, or the Sayef, Shimei, I'm speaking to you because you're a Sanhedrin man. Par was the heaven of the Saif that was used for what? To be Meshavet Am Yisrael. That's what the Rambam says. But mitzad the primius of the Gula Yisrael, the Gula itself was not one day. And that's Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'lel Tzatzvav. There was a whole Kriyas Yamsu was for what purpose? To do what? To be Mekayim B'Sashem B'Mtzul Osiyam Kol Chatzosam. To be Mevayir L'Ra. The Ra being Paro, Haman, Sancheirav, etc., etc. So that's why it could very well be that this is a separate din. You hear what I'm saying to you? Separate halacha. This is a halacha based on this midah of the Talmud Zvara. And therefore it's not an integral part of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why perhaps the Rambam did not include it in the Nusach HaGadah that the Rambam has. And Hashem wanted to hear our tefillos, He wanted to hear that we are hearkening to Him and that we are imploring Him for Hatzalah, etc. Yeah.
If Bnei Yisrael knew that like it was Hashem's will to drown the Mitzrayim, then why is it so crazy that they were rejoicing?
Because in general, this is a din that the Gemara has a few places. You're not supposed to gloat over the downfall of your enemy. It's a mission also in Pirkei Avos. Bin follow Ivecha al Tismach. When someone stumbles, when someone falters, we should not be happy over the fact that another Jew has faltered, another Jew has stumbled. And here we're talking about non-Jews who are our enemies. Ubechozos. Bin follow Ivecha al Tismach. We shouldn't gloat. That's the Issa. The Issa is to gloat over the fact that someone else, that we say, as a result of our involvement with them, so Hashem decided to go ahead and protect us and drown them. But that's not something we should gloat over. But my whole point over here is simply that apparently, Kanireh, that's what you have to assume in this entire discussion, that this aspect, namely of Kriyas Yamsuf, is a secondary aspect, a tertiary aspect. It's not necessarily integral to the entire story of Shiva Mitzvayim. That's why the Rambam doesn't have Nusach HaGadah. All this just to explain that which we mentioned yesterday. Derech Agav, I decided to go ahead and flesh it out a bit more and thinking about it last night, so that was Maskana I came to. Yeah?
This was the Sibur Yitzia Mitzvayim, which is actually leaving Mitzvayim, right?
But it includes everything. It includes that Maskel Bignus and Messiah Mishavach goes way back to the dawn of our history.
Right, so then after that, is the Yitzia Mitzvayim when we, Bnei Israel just stepped over the border, the boundary of what was Mitzrayim and what wasn't Mitzrayim anymore? Like, we, stepped over the boundary between North Carolina and South Carolina?
No, I think it was a bit more than that, because the whole idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we mentioned yesterday, that the Pasuk says at the beginning of Shemos, when Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, right, in the burning bush, so he tells him that, Bo'tziach ha'sa'om mi'mitzrayim, what's the ultimate object? Ta'abdun ha'salokim al ha'razeh. The ultimate object is to come to Har Sinai and to receive the Torah. That's the ultimate object. Wow. Just tell me what it is.
No, it was not said.
Well,
they've had extra.
Oh, they had extra. Okay. Wow.
All the Pesach.
Okay, if you just take a break for a moment and just have something to drink.
Rabbi, as you say in English language, I hit the mother load.
Hold on for one second. I have something. What is it?
Yes.
I don't know if you. There's a very nice sefer called Darash Dar Shesef. And in Pashas Vayigash, if I'm not mistaken, so the author there quotes Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav told over the following, and this is by way of introduction to the Dalet Banim that you have on this sheet of paper here. The Rav said that he was about 7 or 8 years old, so his father was a Rav in a town called Chaslovitz in White Russia, and he was the Rav of the town. The town, by the way, was the Chabad Shtot. It's interesting that there's a Masora, I think I mentioned it, there's a Masora that the Rav of Chaslovitz is going to be a Chabadnik. Yeah, that's, I'm sorry? Yeah, this one.
Dalabonim.
I'll get to it. Anyway, so there's a masora that the Rav of Chassidus was a literature Rav. Why is that so? Because apparently the Balatanya was saved by literature Rav. I'm not going to go over all the details, and therefore the Balatanya declared that whoever, even though Chassidus is a Chabad Shtot, yeah, any one of these, and I think I have two of them, but I don't know what happened to the others. Okay, anyway, even though it was a Chabad Shtot, the Rav's going to be a literature Rav. That's why his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was a literature Rav in a Chabad Shtot, in the city of Chabad Chassidim. So our Soloveitchi told over, and it's found in the Sefer Darash Yosh Yosef, in Parshas Vayigash, if I'm not mistaken. I know the author. And so the Rav attended the Cheder, which is essentially under the jurisdiction of Chabad Hasidim. As a matter of fact, the Rav, apparently what happened was that instead of teaching the young charges, Mishnayis Gemara, they had a Gemara, and underneath the Gemara was a Tanya. And there was Rav was a very young man, and he became a Boki in the Tanya until his mother discovered that he was not learning Gemara. His mother tested him on Bar Mitzvah. She saw he didn't know much about Mitzvah. He was spouting Tanya left and right. So then he was taken out of Cheder, and then the Rav essentially was homeschooled by his father. I think it's under the clock, I assume, so it's probably not operating. It's fine. Is there enough light? Anyway, so his father then took over his schooling, and the Rav learned with his father the next 13, 14 years. And once the Rav came to Shir, and we were about to learn the parak HaSeches HaUmnin, which is not a large parak. It's a parak of 6-7 blad above Mitzia, and the Rav made the following statement. He said that this parak he did not learn with his father, and therefore we have no yisodos. We don't have the fundamental yisodos of this parak because he didn't learn with his father. We are going to plow through the parak. Oh boy, did he plow through the parak? He said shiurim for hours and hours and hours on this parak. I had a chabusa, it was a shiva today, so this chabusa now we still learn Machne Ephraim together. That's what we did during the course of the shiur. We had difficulty handling 5-6 hour shiurim, and especially the Rav was trying to figure out. I told you the story about Baba Lechasin Tzatzal. Of course I did. There's a sugya in Chamor Zul Chamor Stam, in the Hasoich Zerumnin. So the Rav came in 1 week, Sepchat in that sugya in the Rambam. He said about 15 hours of shiurim. Next week he came in and said, forget everything I said last week, there's a new mahalach. And the Rav said, "Nu mahalach in this sugya chamor zul chamor stam." The third week, the Rav came in. Forget everything I said the last week. Anu mahalach. So the three mahalachims went on for 3 weeks, probably about 50 hours on this sugya.
Did he explain why each mahalach?
Of course. Why I didn't like the previous mahalach. 20 years later, I'm in a hotel called the Homerak Olam Hashol in the Catskills. Who's there? Avraham Lichtenstein Zatzal. And I was learning again the parak Asoiches Umnin. You think I remembered? Neither the first Mahalach, the second Mahalach, the third Mahalach of Rav Soloveitchik. So I asked Rav Lichtenstein, could he say a shir on this sugya of Chamor Zeh Chamor Stam? So Rav Lichtenstein said, "Ooh, I need 5-10 minutes just to collect my thoughts." Anyway, so he collected his thoughts. He said over all three Mahalachim of Rav Soloveitchik that he heard 20 years ago. Kilu, he was right there. Kilu was right there. Anyway, that's why he was the Gal Ador of Rav Lichtenstein. Okay, anyway, the story continues. So the Rav said over that the Rebbe was teaching Vayigash, and the Rebbe addressed himself to the hearts and souls of his young charges. And the Rav said about this Rebbe, by the way, years later, this Rebbe still lived in Russia. And who went to Russia? Menachem Kasdan. Menachem Kasdan went to Russia. You know Rabbi Menachem Kasdan?
I thought it was Rebbe wrote about it in his book.
He wrote about it, but he is not the one who met the Rebbe. The one who met the Rebbe was Menachem Kasdan, who's a psychologist in Yerushalayim. He's also a Mechaber of Svarim. He wrote a sefer on tzedakah, a very beautiful sefer. He's still learning the Beis Medrash of the Gurs for a number of years. He comes there once in a while. So he's a psychologist, and he was in the shiur in my days. He's older than I am. Anyway, so Rabbi Kasdan met this Lubavitcher who taught Rav Soloveitchik. He met him. He was an older man already. Anyway, so the Rav said that this Lubavitcher taught him how to behold a vision and how to dream and how to feel. So the Rav told the following story. He said, the center is over there. Maybe I'll read part of it because I don't recall the exact, there I have it down. Darash Darash Yosef. Shekach.
It's not every day
that you get back to Yeshiva. It's a big schus. Okay. I want to read this part of the language, okay? The Rav introduced his discussion in Parshat Vayigash with a personal reflection and reminiscence. He described himself as a poor rabbi, but a very good teacher. He said, by sheer association, he recalled an experience of his early youth. He grew up in a town called Chasovich in White Russia, His father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was the Rav. Like every other Jewish boy in town, the Rav attended the local cheder. At that time, he questioned the scholarship of his Malamed, who was a Chabadik. However, he was grateful to his teacher for his entire life, because he taught him something no one but his mother ever taught him. How a Jew could be imaginative in his practice of Judaism. The Chabad Rebbe addressed himself, said the Rav, to my soul and to my heart. It takes time for an individual to develop a breadth and depth. Not many cheder boys know how to behold the vision. Of his cheder teacher, the Rav said, he taught me how to dream and how to feel Yahadut. The episode that the Rav related took place on an overcast day in January after Hanukkah, in the context of Parshat Vayigash. After the holiday atmosphere of Hanukkah had waned for the poor Jews of Chasavitz, most of whom made a meager living as peddlers, and for the cheder boys, a long winter lay ahead of them. They would awaken in the dark and return home with lanterns in their hands. On that particular day, all the cheder boys were depressed, listless, and sad. They chanted the first verses of Parshas Vayigash in a dull monotone, in Hebrew and the Yiddish vernacular. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Vayomer Bi Adoni. Yehuda, of course, approached Yosef and said, if you please, my Lord, your anger should not flare up against your servant. You're like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father? Have you a brother? We said to our Lord, we have an elderly father and a young child of his old age. On the bottom it says here, "See Targum Yerushalmi," which translates it as a bright, talented child. Yehuda continues and tells Yosef, "His brother is dead. He alone is left to his mother, and his father loves him." And then the Rav continues. It seems, as the boys read the question and answer, the Malamed was half asleep. Suddenly, the Malamed jumped to his feet like a tiger, with a strange, enigmatic gleam in his eyes. His eyes were piercing and searching. The Malamed motioned to the boy who was reading, stop. Then he turned to the Rav and said, Podrevin! That's a Polish word. Assistant to the Rebbe, as he called the Rav whenever he got excited. The Malamed uttered the word with sarcasm, because as a Chabadnik, he can never forgive me for the fact I was born to a Briska family, which represented his snagdus at the highest of levels. Of course, the Rav said, I cannot accept the responsibility for that. The Malamed asked, what was the nature of the question that Yosef asked his brothers regarding whether they had a father? Of course they had a father. Every human being has a father, except Adam. The Rav tried to answer the Malamed that Yosef wanted to find out whether his father Jacob was still living. The Malamed began to talk and didn't address himself to the cheder children, but gave the impression he was speaking to some mysterious visitor. Yosef, said the Malamed, wasn't asking about his brothers. Wasn't asking them about Avhut the Isgalion, revealed fatherhood, but Avhut the Iskasion, hidden fatherhood. In our modern idiom, he wasn't asking about biological fatherhood, but rather about existential fatherhood. Yossi was eager to know whether the brothers are committed to their origin. Are you rooted in your father as the foundation of your existence? Or are you merely a band of ruthless wandering shepherds? That's how the Rav used to speak. The Malamed then raised his voice, the Chabad Malamed. Do you acknowledge that the old father represents an ancient tradition? Do you believe that the father is capable of telling you something new and exciting? Or are you insolent and arrogant and deny your dependence on your father? Hayesh lochem av? Have you a father? The Malamed pointed to the Rav's study partner, Yitzchak der Schmidt, whose father was a blacksmith, and said, do you, Yitzchak, have a father or not? He ended by saying, if a Jew admits to the supremacy of his father here, then ipso facto, he admits to the supremacy of his universal father, Atik Yomin, the ancient of days. If we use this approach to the Rav, we can interpret the second question similarly. Have you a brother? Yossi was not interested in knowing whether they had another biological brother who inherited their parents' genetic code. Yossi wanted to know, does your awareness of time stop at the present moment? Or do you consider future generations as well? Do you plan for the world of tomorrow, which is enveloped in the mist of non-being? Do you see a vision? Do you believe in the improbable? The brother's answer was yes. We have an elderly father, they said, Atik Yomin. We also have a bright, vivacious, talented young child, a younger brother, who represents the world of tomorrow. Editorial comment. You know what this reminds me of? The World Fair. I don't know if Rav Baruch, you went to the World Fair.
It was in 64.
So correct, in 64.
I was just born then. I don't know, maybe I may have been in. What month was it? It was October 64.
So General Electric had a pavilion and with the following niggun. The world of tomorrow. La da 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 da. They were projecting into the future. They were literally, and it's unbelievable, because I recall that in that period of time, I don't know if you ever saw the old computers. They were the size of this room. It's amazing. Moshe, we've made progress. Yeah. So that's what I recall. We used to go to the World's Fair on Pesach, all three brothers, Avraham David, Avihu David, and Avishai David, with matzah sandwiches. We lived in the World's Fair. It was unbelievable. It was like a vision of the future. That's what the Rav always reminded me in this drasha of. A young child, said the Rav, challenges us to make possible the birth of generations unborn. The answer that the sons of Yaakov gave to Yosef is still true today. God has chosen us and burdened us with many duties. Despite our many faults, we have an elderly father and a young child. We are committed to a great and mysterious past. It was consumed by fire. The Beis HaMikdash, that was a physical building built of stone, some 1,900 years ago, and yet we mourn for it as if it had been destroyed only yesterday. We still remember Eretz Yisrael, said the Rav. We fight for the possession of the land, continue to sacrifice young lives for each sand dune, for each rocky hill. Why? Here in America we have freedom and many privileges, and anti-Semitism poses no real threat. Not true today. That's my comment. Do we expect to be wealthy in Eretz Yisrael? Do we expect to accomplish so much more there? The answer is, about 3,500 years ago, our Av Zokein, Avraham Avinu, walked behind his flock on those sandy trails, and by traversing the land, endowed it with Kedusha. Centuries later, a prophet and king named David HaMelech played the harp and sang beautiful hymns to God. The hills of our ancient homeland, Ariat HaShomer, which echo with ancient melodies and fiery words, are worth the sacrifice of our youth. So the Rav says, and this is the end of it, and then I'll get to my point. Do our collective memory and our loyalty to the Av Zokein justify alienating the world at large? Is it logical, paradoxical? Why can we not break free of the Av Zokein and adapt to the current spirit of the times? The answer is we cannot, because Jews are immensely concerned with the future and with our existence as a spiritual community. No other nation has ever cared so much about survival at the existential spiritual level as we do. The young child challenges us to care for tomorrow. And just skipping a little bit, the Rav then refers to the Pesukim, Vigadat Tol Bincha, Vayogin Sholcha Bincha. Children are the ambassadors of our vision of the future. And Av Zokein is addressing you. Why did you come? Who dragged you here? The Rabbi? That's an illusion. We came because of the Av Zokein and the Elitz Kunim, the elderly man and the young child. What does Judaism demand of the Jew? A rendezvous between the Av Zokein and the Elitz Kunim. Abarach. That's here. The Av Zokein and the Elitz Kunim. That's our tradition. A merger between past tradition and a vision of the future. What does the Av Zokein teach the Elitz Kunim? What does the patriarch tell him? He tells him the story of his life. The Av Zokein and the Elitz Kunim understand each other. The second, third, and fourth generation American understand the Av Zokein. According to sociologists, Jews should have assimilated into American society long ago, vanishing without a trace. However, they have shown renewed dedication to the 3,500-year-old Av Zokein. That splendid old man and the Elitz Kunim have come to understand and love each other, and therefore are able to maintain and strengthen the heritage of the covenantal community so that it will continue to flourish and prosper far into the future. Wow. He did a good job. I like it. I haven't read this in a long time. Okay, so now, here we are. Back on the track of the Dalai Bonim that I want to discuss. And if you look at the page in front of you, you'll see that you have, of course, here the Dalai Bonim I mentioned. And as you know, in the Haggadah, each of the Dalai Bonim is introduced by a query posed by the child. The Ben Chacham, what is his query? Take a look at the Ben Chacham, the upper left-hand corner. He Yisholcha Bincha Machal Ema, what does he ask? Moha Eidos V'Achukim V'Mishpotim. What about the Tam? I also listed here in the middle section. V'Yok Yisholcha Bincha Machal Emar. Mazos. Not a very sophisticated kind of question. That's why he's called Tom. Next, the Rasha. Does the Rasha ask a question? Mm-hmm. What does the Rasha do? Right hand corner. What does the Rasha do? V'haya ki sabar la'aretz. V'haya ki yamru aleichem enechem. He asks no questions. What does he do? He issues pronouncements. He makes declarative statements. And what about the Sheni Yodel Disho? You see in the middle section. Here, of course, he is stymied by inability to ask. So vis-a-vis three of the Dalbanim, the Torah describes a dialogue between a father and the child. Namely, the Chacham, ki yisholcha bimcha. The Tam, ki yisholcha bimcha. The Sheni Yodel Disho, v'yigarat olivimcha. There's a dialogue between the father and the child. What about the Ben Rasha? Look again, the upper right-hand corner, Pasha's bow. He's making a pronouncement. So apparently there's no dialogue with the Ben Rasha. There's a dialogue with all the other three sons, but there's no dialogue with the Ben Rasha. Take a look even at the Rambam, in Chavitz Matzah, that you have here in Perek Zayin. You look at the Rambam, Perek Zayin Alef Beis. Here the Rambam is actually articulating the Dalai Banim that I found in the Agada. What does the Rambam write? Mitzvah lehodi al banim afilu lo shalu. So who's that referring to? Sheni Yodel Disho. Rambam said the obligation is to inform the children even though they didn't pose the question. Shenemar v'yigadat olavimcha. Lefi daito shoben avi melamda. What's taking place on Pesach night? A pasuk in Mishlei. Most important pasuk in chinuch of our children, which is which pasuk? Chanoch lenar al pi darka. What does that mean? Each child has to receive a chinuch, which is what? Fitting and worthy of that particular child. You can't go ahead and try to give every child the same chinuch. That's a mistake. Because then you have the following syndrome. Square peg in round hole. And you ever try to fit a square peg into a round hole? You know what happens?
Doesn't work.
That's correct. Does not work. There's a fair amount of friction and a fair amount of tension that will result. So each child requires their own chinuch. The Rambam says, if he died to Shoben, of him alamda, that's the price of Sochim. But the Rambam is telling you that the din of Pesach night, each of our children has to be addressed in accordance with where they're at. Ketzah, the Rambam goes on. Im hayat katan o tipesh. Who's the Rambam referring to? Who is the katan? Correct. Who's the tipesh? You already mentioned him. What? Is that so? There are four sons. Let's read the rest of it and then you'll figure it out from there. Omelo Bini. What does Bini mean? My son. So we're referring to the same one. Who is that? As you just said? Tom. We already have Sheni Yodel Disho? Correct. Correct. So what do you tell him? My son, Kulanu Yin Avon, Kamashiv Chazok, Kamaheb Zeb in Mitzrayim. Now the Ram comes to the last son. Bimhaya ben Gobel Bechacham, Modiya Mashayo Lara Bimitzrayim, Venisim Shanaso Yemashabeno, Hakolof Hidaiko Shoben. So the Ram has expunged, or if you will, eliminated one of the children from his discussion in Perek Zayin Alach Beis. Which one is that? The Rasha. And yet, take a look at the text of the Ram's Agoda that we gave out. He has it. Yes, he does. Take a look. Look at the text of the Rambam's Haggadah. There he does mention the Ben Rasha. Here he does not mention the Ben Rasha in the Mishnah Torah itself. But in the text of the Rambam's Haggadah, he has the Rasha. You see? It's on the second page. On the first page you have the other children that are mentioned by the Rambam. See what I'm referring to? Chochem Aru Omer. And then it says Rasha, Tam, Hashem, Yedei Elisha. So the Rambam has in his Nusach Ha'agoda, but he does not have in the Mishnah Torah a reference to the Rasha. So Asolvechi used to point out that in the Tshuva of the Ben Rasha in Pasha's Bo, you have the page in front of you, the Torah actually records the following answer to the Ben Rasha. V'amartem zeva pesach ul Hashem, upper right hand corner. And yet in the text of the Haggadah, what is the response given to the Ben Rasha? That's the response that emanates from the verse cited to the Sheni Yodel Disho. You have that Gada in front of you? You have it actually on the bottom in the Nusach HaGada, the Rambam. Namely, notice that in the text of the Torah itself, in Parshas Bo, what is told to the Ben Rasha? V'amartem zeva pesach ul Hashem. However, the text of the Gada itself, what response is given to the Ben Rasha? The one that emanates from the verse cited to the Sheni Yodel Disho. Why would the Baal HaGadah intentionally alter the psukim? That's question one. Secondly, why does the Rasha warrant a response in the third person? What do we say to the Rasha? Li, velo. Look at the Rambam's Lashon HaGadah. Li, velo, lo. It's also in our HaGadah. It's in the third person. Why does the Baal HaGadah say, Ilu hoya sham loya nigal? Translated, had he been there, he would not have been redeemed. It should have said, Ilu hayisa sham loya nigal. Had you not been there? Speak to him in the second person. Not the third person. You have a question? The second person is used. Look in the language of the Gadatul Labincha, Yamate Elav, Yamate Labincha. But vis-a-vis the Russia, what language do we use? Not the second person, but rather, Vamartem Zeva Pesach. The plural form. Lashon Rabbim, upper right hand corner. In Parshas Bo, we use Lashon Rabbim. And therefore, the parallel language of Livul Alo, Ilu Hayasham, Loyan Yigo. And else, what do we see? The Maskana, that one cannot dialogue directly with the Ben Rasha. You cannot directly have a dialogue with the Ben Rasha, but rather, you address the Sheni Yadel Isho, and couched in his response is also a response to whom? To the Ben Rasha. That's what you see from this Nusach here of the Baal HaGadah. The truth is that the Vilna Gaon points out that the query means question, Ari. The question of the Ben Rasha is not so markedly different from that of the Chacham. The primary difference lies in the fact that the Chacham poses a question, ki yisholcha, and what does the Rasha do? He issues statements, he pontificates. The question of the Chacham basically highlights the central role of Hashem Yisbarach in our lives. Namely, what does the Chacham say? Look again at the Chacham, upper left hand corner. The Rasha has deleted the name of God from his statement. What does he say to Rasha? Moha Avodah Hazos Lachem. There's no Shem Hashem. That the Gaon points out. The Bi Agro in his parish in Agoda knows the distinction between the Chacham and the Rasha. Look, the Rasha has deleted the name of God from his statement. Moha Avodah Hazos Lachem. One second. The time actually, if you look at there, the pasuk says, means there the Shem Hashem is mentioned. And the truth of the matter is that in the Rasha also, but in terms of there's a question that's asked by all three, and the Rasha, there's no question. He pontificates, he's issuing statements, he's issuing, shall we say, declarations. Let me just editorialize a little bit while I'm at it. One of the problems with the state of Israel that you undoubtedly are aware of, and the governments of the state of Israel, that to a certain extent, many of the governments have attempted to squelch religious practice and, in general, religion. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point out that the first prime minister of the state of Israel, that was whom? Correct? Ben Gurion. At least he had a knowledge of Tanakh. He was an Ish Chazon, a man of vision. But he understood the Jewish history, that there is a Jewish history that emanates from the days of Tanakh. And the last number of prime ministers, maybe with the exception of Menachem Begin, who was a Briska. So as you said, he knew him for Brisk. Matter of fact, when Menachem Begin was the prime minister of the state of Israel, if you recall, perhaps you don't recall, so he came to the United States, this is before the Sadat peace mission with Egypt, and he went actually to see the Dolly Yisrael. Menachem Begin. And he went to see, he met several Gedolei Yisrael in the apartment of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein outside, on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Who was there? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yitzhak Kutner, or Rabbi Ruderman, Gedolei Yisrael. Literally, he met with them in the apartment of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein outside. They all told him to study the Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach before he goes to consummate a peace treaty with Anwar Sadat from Egypt. And then he wanted to meet with the Rav. And the Rav said, no, I'm going to meet you because we can't shechol and cover the Malchus. At the end, of course, he flew to Boston to meet Rav Soloveitchik in his apartment, in his house. Because he had tremendous dacherets for Gedolei Yisrael. Menachem Begin was someone who was a Shemit Torah Mitzvahs. Menachem Begin was a Briska. I believe he was married by the Briska Rav, Rav Soloveitchik's uncle. So he was someone who had a connection to Yiddishkeit. Unfortunately, many of the prime ministers of the state of Israel, I don't know if you ever read the book, The Prime Ministers. Have you read it?
Started it.
Where is Martin? Maybe he read it.
What? Think he read it this year.
I'm sure he did. I actually never had read it till I, on one of my plane trips, someone sitting next to me had the book. I asked him if I could borrow it for a short while. So I read the entire book. It took a few hours.
On the airplane?
On the airplane. What else did I do? Either I read books like that, or learn. I usually try to learn on the plane, try to go through an effect or two. And, or, I meet galochim, priests, and we discuss Svarim by Job. Job being Eov. This gentleman called it Job. But I saw he was citing from Job rather liberally. And he knew Job quite well. A job well done. Anyway, but to a large extent, one of the issues with the State of Israel, of course, has been exactly this issue, the link with our past and the future, and that is a lack of understanding. Be quiet. That's a lack of understanding of what a Jewish state is all about. And so, again, in the response to a Ben Russia, we say, V'amartem zena pesachu l'ashem. And I want to hear, while I'm at it, now examine more carefully the Dalai Banim in the context of this piece of paper that you have in front of you. As I said, each of the Dalai Banim is introduced with a question, with the exception of a Russia, who issues a statement, and the Torah uses the plural form, and I mentioned there's no dialogue with the Ben Russia, and it's interesting that the Rambam has completely expunged the Ben Russia here from the text of the Mishnah Torah, and yet the Haggadah, the Rambam does cite the Russia. And again, just a note to you, the answer to the Russia here on the upper right-hand corner, V'amartem zera Pesach. And as I said to you, but that is not a dialogue directly with the Ben Russia. One addresses the Sheni of the Elisho, and that's how one goes ahead and deals with the Russia. But I want now to be focused on the language of the Russia that's found over here in the Nusach of the Haggadah. You have it in the Rambam of the Rambam. Russia Mahu Omer, lower right-hand corner. And then we have the following statement. There are two nuschos in the Haggadah. One is the nusach that we have here in the Rambam. What does it say? Translate that, please. Translate that line. What did the Russia do? He basically was parish minat zibur. And because he was parish minat zibur, that's a very striking statement. The Rav used to refer to all kinds of Rambams, a Gemara in Tainis, a Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, and a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Whoever is Parish Minat Tzibur, whoever thinks that I can isolate myself from Klal Yisrael, and whatever happens to them, I'm not a part of, I don't identify with them, neither with their tzaras, I don't commiserate with their anguish, with their issues. Chas v'sholom, a person should take such attack. Sholom alach anashi, that's the Lashon Gemara in Tainis. Kofa ba'ika, that's one of the girsos that we generally have in our Rambam, and in our Nusach HaGadah. There's another girsah, Punk Faker. Menachem Kasher Zatzal in his Haggadah Shlema brings two nuschos, and he brings a second nusach. But the reason why I say this is because I'm reminded of a comment of the Ran. I'm very fond of the Ran, the Drasha Torah.
Isn't that a cause and effect? Again?
Yes, it is. Excellent. Beautiful. That's exactly what I was thinking of, actually, by the way. Wow. You read my mind. There's a fascinating Ran. In the Drasha Torah, that's a very classic, beautiful sefer that you must study. Not now, okay? Not at this point in time. I suggest first you go through Shas Bavli, with Rashi minimally, and Chumash in Rashi, and all Tanakh, and Rabban al Torah. Then maybe you'll get ready for the, and then of course all the six volumes of Mishnah Berurah, and then you'll decide to learn the Drasha Torah. So the Rana is a following comment, which to me is always mind-boggling. Why is it there are two chatoim that Klal Yisrael, as you know, was saddled with? Two major chatoim. One is the Chedah Meraglim, and the other is the Chedah Ego. And amazingly enough, for the Chedah Ego, which according to Rashi involved Gila Arayah Shrichas Dam Abed Azara, Mashmos and Gibran Tzadred, and also things like that. Shimi, did he not say so? So then we were given a reprieve. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said what? Salach L'Gurecha. The Chedah Meraglim, which basically is what? Where the Gemara presents in Lashon Hara. I'm not saying it's a good thing to say Lashon Hara, Chas v'Sholom. But we were vilified and condemned to wander how many years in the desert? 40 years because of the Chet HaMeraglim. How do you explain this distinction? My father, Hashem, was very bothered by this. So years later, I studied Rosh Hashanah, And I saw, I think it's an answer to this question. Anyone remember, you have a chumash in front of you? Yes, you do. Take a look at the chumash. Every revolution has to have something, some sort of a banner, or some sort of a particular message that they're trying to get across. What is the message of the people in the Cheder Egel? Look at Parshat Kisisa and Shev the Sefer Shmos. What is the message that was unfurled on their banner? But page 252 in the pagination over here. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Ches. The last series of words in the Pasuk. What did they say? Vayomu, they said, Eilo Lahecha Yisrael, Asher Ha'alucha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does that mean? At least they acknowledge the fact that what? That they left Egypt. Okay. They wanted to go ahead, Ke'ilu. When the Ramban writes, the Rav HaRishon learned, not like Rashi. Rashi learns there were three Averis here, Gila Raish, Rechazam, Abedazar. What does the Ramban say? Ramban quotes the position of Moshe Rishonin, Absadigon, Ibn Ezra. What do they assume? They wanted to somehow, they went into a panic. The Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, and the Rebbe Pasuk says, Tehillim, by Amiras, Tevodim, Betam, Nishor, Ochel Esa. But what do they say? At least they acknowledge the fact they left Egypt. Eilu Lehecha Yisrael, Asher Elucha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So at least they were headed where? Towards Eretz Yisrael. Take a look now at the Meraglim in Pasha Shlach. Look at Bamidbar. Pasha Shlach. There you see a totally different message that's being unfurled on their banner. And this message is a frightening message. Page 410 in the pagination. Perek Yudgimel, Pasuk Dalet. Tarshish HaMeraglim. Sharp, sharp distinction. What do they say? Vayomu Isha Lachid Nidna Rosh. What they say? What do they want to do? They wanted to undo their ultimate destiny. The ultimate destiny being to go enter Eretz Yisrael. And what do they want to do? You have it? 410. Page 410, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Vayomu Isha Lachim Nidna Rosh Hashuv Mitzrayimah. That was their benchmark. They attempted to cast themselves adrift from their destiny, to sever their ties from their moorings. And therefore, in many respects, one could say, they were motzi es atzma min haklal. They wanted to remove themselves from the klal. The klal being, Klal Yisrael was headed for, hopefully, Eretz Yisrael. That's our destiny. I assume you, at one point or another, have studied Tanakh. You ever noticed that Tanakh is essentially revolves around one country? Not the five towns, and not Teaneck, and not Chicago, and not Boca, and not Scarsdale. But Eretz Yisrael is the very center of our attention, as it should be. So that's what they take a look now over here. I want to be medayik, and this to me is an unbelievable diuk. Before I get to that diuk, I didn't see it mentioned by Mefarshim, but I noticed it many, many years ago. Before I get to that diuk, I just want to mention something else. You know, there's a very fascinating introduction. The Rambam has it here in the bottom right-hand corner of Nusach HaGadah. There's an introduction to the Dalet Banim. I think some people sing it. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. How do you sing it? What's your nigga? Okay, there's nothing newer than that. It's as old as the hills. If I know it, then it's as old as the hills. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shana Santoli Am Yisrael Baruch Hu. It's a very dramatic introduction. Why is the Baal HaGadah so overcome by ecstasy? Why does he become so excited praising Hashem Yisbarach and recounting the didactic of the four sons, including the skeptic and the agnostic? Of course, the answer, of course, is that every single Jew has a chelek. You cannot, chas v'sholom, a great scholar cannot say to an ignorant man, my share is greater than yours. There's a gemara about that, of course, in brachas. Okay, here we go. I had to quote brachas. Yeah, they're learning the Shana Aleph students in our yeshiva. What's that? That is a shot that our Salvation suggested. That's found actually in the Amic Bracha, close to Rishonim, we say that. The question, of course, is why one has to say Birchas HaTorah again at nighttime, and one already said it early in the morning, Rishonim and Brachas, and that's Sugya that he's familiar with, this gentleman, Ari Berman, he's my Rebbe. So he will point out to you that Birchas HaTorah is said once a day. Rishonim is the Kasha. The famous Kasha that Taisa says early in Brachas, I was talking about this, the Rav said when he was Messiah in the first paragraph of Chulin, said over a very famous Hadron in 1973, I was in the Shir, and therefore, Asalim, he said over the Hadla, this tastes in brachas. Namely, what a taste says Akashi. Why is it by sukkah? Anytime we enter the sukkah to eat another meal, what are we mechuyev to do? Make another bracha leishem sukkah. It could be 3, 4, 5 times a day. And the brachas Torah, we always say once in the morning. What is the taste answer? Shiny Torah, shenem yash daito. Shenema, vagisabo, yom perakal, sevi Yeshua. Tanakh. What's the child taste? So Baruch Be'er essentially says this in his Sefer HaKedushin. He has a whole piece at the end of his Sefer HaKedushin, Bricha Shmuel HaKedushin, a piece on this. But our Soveitch explained it in the following way. You should remember this the rest of your life. Ari. Mashal Ma'ad Dova Domer, that I always give. Could you change the clock back for another hour? Mashal Ma'ad Dova Domer to a mother and father. When we took our son to Yeshiva, many, many years ago, and he was a little chap, a little tyke, T-Y-K-E, a little chap, and we also took the chaplaces as well. Anyway, we took them to school, so I said, wow, Baruch Hashem. I said before the Bar Mitzvah, Baruch Shem Tohani Me'on Shol Sholzeh. I didn't say B'Shem Malchus, out of Sophie. The guy knows to say B'Shem Malchus. B'Kitzer, you know that Baruch by Bar Mitzvah? Your parents say it? So, we come there, and the little chap, my oldest son, is in, what do they call it, Tromgan, pre-kindergarten. How old is he? 2, 3? I said to myself, Baruch Hashem, I hope he'll be here from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. I'll pick him back up at 9 o'clock at night. And my wife did not think that way. Anyway, now that she did not think that way, she decided to stay there for a bit. She said, who knows what's going to happen to the little tyke, the little chap? Who knows what the kindergarten teachers are capable of doing? Traumatizing this 2-year-old fella. And therefore we have to stay there to make sure that everything is in order. So I wanted to leave because I work for a living. I worked for a living the last 43 years of my life. I was never zeichet to, like others who are zeichet to sit and learn. That's why, unfortunately, I don't know how to learn too well. But b'kitzer, so people sat and sit and learn all day. I'm not zeichet to that. Make a long story short. The mother, not for a second does the mother forget the child. Even when the mother leaves the child, you think she forgets the child? What does the father do? The father's dancing and singing. Baruch Shem Torah, Nimeyon, Shol Shol Zeh. Baruch Shem Torah, Nimeyon, Shol Shol Zeh. And hopes he comes back at 9 o'clock tonight. The mother never forgets for a moment. And also the distinction between the mother and father is the following. The Rav said, Tzvei dinim. Tzvei halachos. There are 2 dinim over here. In Hesach Adas. There are 2 types of Hesach Adas. Well, put it in the Rav's language. There's acute awareness and latent awareness. So when the mother is directly with the child, she has acute awareness of the child. The moment the mother leaves the child's not with the mother. The father has been completely masiach das. He's having a sudas chagiga. And the mother, never for a moment does she masiach das from a child. There's always latent awareness. Says the Rav, that's Pratim Teis in Brachas. Shani Torah, Shani Miyaj Daito. Even though a person latently is right now not learning Torah because I'm working for a living, because I'm relaxing, because I'm reading, because I'm doing something else, I'm doing chesed, doing mitzvahs, but that does not mean I don't have latent awareness. Do I ever have hesek adas of learning? Not in a cute way, I do. But latently, chas v'sholom, there's never hesek adas. That's why you only make brachas Torah once a day. You hear the pshat and the taste of brachas? I heard this pshat, I started dancing, I started singing. I haven't stopped dancing and singing since 1973. Just a nap pshat and tesis. It was worthwhile to go to the Rav Soloveitchik Shir and learn the first paragraph of Cholin and be Messiah just for that shot in that thesis. So here, so I'm now back to the Gemara and Brachas. Thank you. What does the Gemara say over there at the end of the first paragraph? I don't recall the exact Gemara, but the Rav was very fond of this Gemara. You know where the Rav quotes it? In the same report, Yemezi Karon, that has a shofar on the outside. The first drasha that the Rav speaks about Shlichus. I was present at that drasha. You know that drasha, Rav Baruch? Gorgeous drasha. So the Gemara says over there, Brachas Magala B'Pumayi D'Rabbanu D'Yavne. What does it say over there? Ani Beria, B'Chaveri Beria. You recall this Gemara. No? Both of you learn Brachas. Who else learned Brachas? Judah, you also learn Brachas. All 3 of you learn Brachas this year. Moshe, 4 of you learn Brachas. So the Gemara says, it's clear you have not chazed sufficiently. Ani Beria, B'Chaveri Beria. What does it say over there? Rashi says, I use Isaac Batera, I'm a Beria. What does Beria mean? I'm a Gavra. Macho, macho. And my Chavre and Amaritz is also a Beria. I get up to do work. Kishem Shu'enu Mizgadu Mimlachti. He doesn't impinge on my work. I don't impinge on his work. V'shem Atom Ani Marbe V'hu Mamit. I'm a great scholar, a great Talmud Chacham. Therefore, Ani Marbe and Hu Mamit. What does it say? Chas V'sholem Shanino, the Gemara Melachis. Echad Amarbe, Echad Amamit, Uvavad. So no one can come with any kind of arrogance, and that's why we have this introduction to the Dalai Banim. It's down right over here. Namely, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. The man who wasn't blessed by Hashem is Baruch Hu, the great mind, but who extends a sincere effort, is equal to the great Talmud Chacham. Lefum Tzaira, Agra. Can I just finish this?
Yeah.
So there's a separate text for the great mind, for the simpleton. We used to play a game when we were young. My father was very into it. My father's into chess, into checkers, and into Simple Simon. Everyone knows Simple Simon? They still play that game, Judah?
Simon
what?
Simon Says.
How does the game go?
Simon Says something, you gotta do it.
Correct. Something along those lines. Gersa de Ankusa, Loi Mishtakha. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. Anyway, but the point is that there's even the skeptic, every Jew possesses sparks of greatness. You don't know when the dormant qualities of an individual are going to emerge. Correct? That's why, by the way, the Navi Yecheskel said, Baruch Vod Hashem, Mim, Ko, Mo. So we say also, Baruch HaMokam Baruch Hu. We're all in the embrace of Hashem Yisbarach. You can't escape the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. He's omnipresent. You can't escape Him. The Torah was given to all Jews. And that's why it's even more important to tell the story of Pesach to a simple child than to the great mind. Hashem embraces the entire world like a mother embraces all her children. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, I'm thinking even Sarah Mara about it. He said, you can't just kill somebody else. He said, your blood is more red than the other guy's.
Right, that's not by Ben Sarah Mara, but the Gemara has in the Gimel Averis. Why that comes to Ritzicha, person comes and says, Chas V'Shalom, kill X, so I'll kill you. My Chazis, the Dom Vizav Sumakhtvei, Dimma Dom Vizav Sumakhtvei. Who says what you say? Rashi. Rashi in Sanhedrin says it so beautifully. Rashi has that comment in a very nice way. Okay, that's not what I wanted to say here. I wanted to really now go on to what I want to show you in the Dalai Banim. I hope I'll be able to do it before the next 10 minutes. Is that what 10 minutes is? 11:40 or so? Approximately. Must you leave at 11:40 or you can leave at 12:40? Okay, so here, now take a look at the Ben Chacham. I'm turning to the Ben Chacham again. What language, by the way, there's one phrase that occurs and recurs in the course of the Ben Chacham, upper left-hand corner. What phrase or what form of a phrase occurs many times, or what verb occurs many times in different forms? What would you say? Which is really pretty clear over here in the upper left-hand corner by the Ben Chacham. Which word? Tell me, I'll read it. Yisholcha bin chamacha leimah moha idos hachum avishpatim asher tziva asher olkeinu eschem. I'll try to give you a hint. V'yamad olavim chalbanim hayinu l'par b'mitzayim. You look like you're settling in. That's good. Vayotzeinu Hashem b'mitzayim b'yach hazoka. Vayitin Hashem elso sevelsin dolin b'rayim b'mitzayim farach habeis aleinu. Valsano hati mishan l'man hati avi asano lasano sa'aretz Hashem yitzma alseinu. Vayitzaveinu Hashem lasas v'alchum eile. L'chayoseinu. Utsnok at the yalor ki Yisrael ka. Asher tzivonu. Which word comes up many times?
Asher.
He is a cutie pie. How is a cutie pie? When did you become such a cutie pie?
I hang out with Jamie too much.
Ah, Dekel of Payrice. He's a boy of the yeshiva. His name is? Correct. I call him Dekel of Payrice. Because the Gemara says, Mechala, the Gemara Hamafke, the Gemara of Shas, is Mechala between them. I sell you Payrice, Dekel, David also. Darshan Bali Eilam. But if the Dekel is there, now we hope there will be Peros. So we call him Dekel of Peros.
Rishashim has to tell Jamie that. He has no idea what's happening.
I've explained to him about 72 times.
He does not understand that.
Almost as many times as the many letters of the Tetragrammaton. Hashem is Barash, Abachmanis. The word Tzibu is found here many times by the Ben Chacham. Why? Because the Ben Chacham has a divine discipline. You know, many say Pshat in the Ben Chacham. You see it back in the Haggadah, Nusach Haggadah Ramam. Af ato emolo kilchus ha-Pesach, em atinach ha-Pesach ha-Pikom. What's the Pshat in that? Em atinach is the last Mishnah in Avi Pesachim. You're familiar with it? So what should you tell him? You tell him A to Z, or as you say, from this to soup nuts. What's the expression go? It means you tell him everything. because it's an absolute commitment on the part of the Chacham to a normative set of laws. From A to Z. Ofeg is not here. From A to Z, that's where you have to go. You know Z? In Canada, they pronounce the Z as Z. You're not familiar, Alex? There's a country called Canada.
I'm trying to stay away.
It's where Ofac's from.
Where, what?
It's where Ofac's from.
That's what I just said. If you missed my line. I'm just indicating, by the way, this is also borne out by something else in the Agoda, which is very problematic. We know when we say Pesach Matzah Moro, Pesach Hashuma, the next Matzah Hashuma, Moro Hashuma. The Rambam, by the way, oh, I don't have that Rambam over here, do I? No, I do not. The Rambam has a different text, not Al-Shumma, Al-Shema! I've changed the text of the Agoda. Okay, so now I'm about to really introduce something very fundamental here. Okay, go ahead, yes.
The Sheni Yodel Shol didn't ask anything either. He said the Russian didn't ask anything.
The difference is the Sheni Yodel Shol, as I said, it's true that he's not capable of formulating a question, but at least there's a dialogue with him. The Gadot of the Mincha, with the Russian, there's no dialogue. You know, I don't have a dialogue with the Russian.
Why does Rambam leave it out?
The Rambam leave what out?
He still said it, but he leaves it out of his...
In the text of the Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam is quoting...
He leaves it out in
Kol Chabet. I say that's what I'm saying. The text of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam doesn't have the Russia. But here he's telling you Halacha, that you're not allowed to have a dialogue with the Russia. That's why he doesn't include it. The Nusach HaGadah, which as I said, is questionable when the Rambam wrote it, they didn't write it. The Rambam does have the Nusach HaGadah, the classic Nusach HaGadah, he does mention it. But in the text of the Mishnah Torah, it's true, the Rambam does not have it. It does not have the dialogue. There's no dialogue with the Red Russians. Okay, what I really wanted to talk about is going to take a bit longer and we'll go past the 10, the 11:40 mark. No, but there's a bus coming, is there not? How do you know when the bus comes? You all know?
Jason.
My phone's off, but I assume Rabbi Mali would try calling me.
So maybe see if he called you. I was trying to call him.
Maybe we're going to call yet. So we're good for a few more minutes. I don't think they'll call me tall.
So, there are two types of questions that Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of pointing out. Two different types of questions. And the fundamental distinction between two genres of questions. One question we're not permitted to ask is, why? Why did Hashem Yisbarach decide to go ahead and attach the mitzvah of Hakel? Hakel is attached to what, Yom Tov? Matzoi Shemitah of?
Sukkot.
Nachon. Why did Hashem do that? And not, let's say, attach it to the Yom Tov of Pesach. Can we ask such a question? No. That question is inappropriate. Because the divine mandate, if it's as a custom, we cannot fathom the why of the divine directive. However, one question are we duty about to answer? Why? That we are duty about to answer. What is the significance of Hakel? What are its parameters? What charismatic message is conveyed by Hakel? That's an obligation that we have to ask such a question. The exploration of the one question should preoccupy us and direct us on an inquiry that's both halachically and philosophically justified. And the answer to the one question is the realization of what mitzvah? We have to seek out Hashem Yisbarach. There's an odyssey. He said, the Shema b'chol avav kol kol nashecha. You have to seek him out with all our heart and all our mind. So that is very significant. So the Rambam is interesting enough, they can't have a clear in our Haggadah, al shumma, but al shemma is what's the symbolism of Pesach Matzah Mora. What divine message is there in Pesach Matzah Mora? So now, I just want to point out a very fundamental diuk. I think it's a great, great diuk, and one that's very significant in this Haggadah. And maybe I'll just be mocked in it because I don't know if I'm going to get to the diuk. I want to show it to you inside and I want to do it quickly. What?
Rabbi Mali said we have until a quarter to 12.
Quarter to 12. Wow.
We have 10 minutes.
Okay, that's very good. Maybe we'll be able to get in what I want to say. You know, this Shabbos is, if I'm not mistaken, is Parshas HaChodesh. Where do we read? What is the reading that we do for Parshas HaChodesh? From where do we read? In the Navi. Take a look. Yeah, I have over here. Take a look at the Chumash.
I said
Matzah Zeb and Matzah Zoh. Excuse me? They're Pashuk because Matzah is the Keva and Mar is Lashon Zohar. But look at the Haftarah of the Pashta Chodesh. Where is it found here in the Chumash? Anybody know where it's found?
Yeah,
The Dal Parshas, where do they put them here?
They're page 5, 9, 7.
5, 9, 7. Thank you very much. Shikach to you. I wanted to suggest to you, even though it's I actually taught Yecheskel for a number of years, Simon Memhei. Perek Memhei and Yecheskel. Page 597, you have it? You have a different chumash. But take a look where this is a very difficult haftorah, one of the most difficult haftorahs, Bechlau. It speaks about the Shivas Yimei Amiluin, the days of consecration that will accompany the Chanukah Sveis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third Sveis HaMikdash. Where else do we have a discussion of the Miluim? We had it recently in what Pasha? Shemini. Where else do we have it besides Shemini? In Shmos, we have it in the Pasha called Tetzaveh. Mentioned actually twice in Chumash, Tetzaveh and Shemini. And here in Tanakh, in Yecheskel Memhei, we have the Psukim detail, the reestablishment of the Karbonos in the Yemei Mos HaMashiach. The Netziv has a very famous comment. You know the Netziv has a Perush al Torah called HaMegdavar. I hope that one day you will study it. And the Netziv actually, in a famous comment, notes there's a basic distinction to be drawn between all Karbonos in general and the Karbon Pesach in particular. Even after the Chumash HaMikdash and before the destruction of Beitar, historically, what did Jews do? They still were involved with one Karbon. What Karbon was that? Karbon Pesach. And they were constructing Mizbech to offer the Karbon Pesach. Even during the days of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha. You ever heard about Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha? Yes? What would you like? Even during the days of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha, he was a Talmud of Abki Vega. And there's a whole discussion. He tried to persuade his Rebbe to once again reintroduce the offering of Karbanos, but specifically he was talking about what? The Karban Pesach. Why the Karban Pesach? Why is that Karban different than all the other Karbanos? So here's the Pasuk in Chumash. Take a look in the Techacha for a second. Here's the Techacha found twice in Chumash. Now once in Parshas, and once in Parshas, Kisola. Mishnayos and Megillah. Where are you, Adam? You're not here. Look at Bechukosai for one moment, and you'll see what I'm referring to. By the way, this is a series of classic psukim. On page 363, pagination of Bechukosai, Perichavov, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Torah describes how there's going to be a Churban HaMikdash, when Asatis Arechel Churba, your sins will be rendered null and void, Vashimos is Migdashechem, and your Bate Migdash will be rendered Shamim, desolate. V'lo ariach v'reach nichochachem. Here's the pasuk I'm referring to. What does it mean? V'lo ariach v'reach nichochachem. Hashem will not what? Will not savor. S-A-V-O-U-R. V'reach nichochachem. What's v'reach nichochachem? The savor of karbonos. So all karbonos require v'reach nichochach, with the exception of one karbon. Which karbon is that? Karbon Pesach. Does not require v'reach nichochach. Because v'reach nichochach is only going to come back when? When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. But till then, we cannot offer up Karbanos. There are a lot of problems with offering up Karbanos. He has a very good article about this. Rabbi J. David Bleich. You know him? He wrote many volumes. Rabbi Bleich is a Rosh Kolel, the Chesh Mishmer Kolel, Yeshivas HaBeit Yitzchak Chanan. You familiar with him? He has many, many volumes that he wrote on Jewish law. He's a goyim, an absolute goyim. But why is there a difference between Karban Pesach and other Karbanos? Karban Pesach is associated with the Amunah that Klal Yisrael displayed when we left Mitzrayim. Do you remember that? Beginning of Parshas Bo? Look in Parshas Bo for a second. We must learn Chumash. Very important to learn Chumash. Sammy, he was nice and nervous to come today. My Rebbe, Sammy Smagel. Hashem should bless him. And have a safe trip. Tzeichem Shalom, Vachem Shalom. But take a look in Parshas Bo, where the Torah describes the, shall we say, the Amunah that Klal Yisrael had. Mishchu. The Torah here has a whole description about what? About the coming Pesach. Correct? Chazal say, Mishlu Yidechem Abba Zara, and the Torah testifies it required a considerable degree of faith of Emunah. Because you know why? Because here they were about to read the coming Pesach, and guess whom they worship? Hey, Nizbach has taught us Mitzrayim, their name, and they're going to what? They'll stone us. So, coming Pesach, basically, what is that? What does it convey? The idea of what? Of Emunah. Emunah in Hashem is Barach. For that reason, it's interesting, you know, the Bahag did not count in his list of mitzvahs the first mitzvah that many Rishonim count. What's the first mitzvah that many Rishonim count? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Havaya Elokecha. That's how Asa Lish used to say it. Anochi Havaya Elokecha Asher Otzisir Meir Otzisai. The mitzvah of Emunah. Emunah in Hashem. Why didn't the Bahag count it? So the Ramban in his glosses to the Sefer HaMitzvahs always defends the Bahag against the attacks of the Rambam. So what does the Ramban say to defend the Bahag? The Ramban points out that because Emunah is the cornerstone, Emunah is the foundation, Emunah is the prerequisite for all mitzvahs. It's the touchstone, it's the leitmotif of the entire mitzvahs. Without Emunah, you can't do anything. Quotes the Medrash. The Medrash Chazal says, Hashem says that he goes into a melech, goes into a kingdom and says, I want you to pay taxes to me. They said, who are you? We don't even know who you are. And we're paying taxes to you. I mean, they weren't mekabel his malchus. Why should they mekabel his taxes? So that's what the Bahag points out, that Emunah is the prerequisite for everything. And that's why the Ramban says that the Emunah is based on the idea, that's what the Bahag is saying. Nachas ruach lefanai v'nasa ritzoni. A person surrenders his will to the inscrutable will of Hashem Yisbarach. I surrender to Hashem Yisbarach. Emunah means that I accept the Dvar Hashem totally, completely. Correct? So Korban Pesach, in effect, is the only Pesach, the only Korban that can be offered before the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Because it doesn't require this element of a Riach, Riach, Yichachim. It's not necessary. It means this is the only Korban that one can actually offer that does not require this element of a Riach, Riach, Yichachim. And that's why, well, now going back to the four sons, I think someone else has arrived. A foreign implant. Anyway,
this is not only my wife who calls me that.
Hashem bless you. Can I just finish the 3 minutes? I'll tell you what, we'll continue tomorrow. Bring that up. Fine. Okay, what's that? So tomorrow people will still be in the yeshiva?
Yeah.
Except for Sammy. Where are you going?
I'll be my grandparents, so I'll come in.
You're going to your grandparents? Where they live? I know. So that's so difficult?
Suffer.
Okay. That's probably true. You too.
Who's not going? You're leaving from there? So yeah. I have to figure out how to get